Come on. All right, welcome everyone. I will officially call to order the Town of Heath Select Board meeting. Today is Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. Welcome everybody. The meeting is being audio recorded. I will do a quick review of agenda and we go right into a 5 p.m. appointment with Parks and Rec. Mike's here, Bob's here. Is anybody else coming? Oh yeah, Pat's. Well, Pat's always here. That's you.
Mainstay.
So, quick review, we've got the 5 o'clock appointment, we're going to review some minutes, we're probably going to table the first one again. We don't have Will, for the people at home, no Will, just me, Elisa, and Mia.
Mia's first solo.
Solo TC position.
Meeting. Yeah.
All right. After that, we got some public comment, if anybody wants to take part, and then we got a bunch of other business to go through. A lot of it's in the mail. We've got some contracts to take a look at, vote on a couple things. We've got to talk about Sawyer Hall proposal, mm-hmm. a bunch of other stuff there. We got some mail at the end, and anything that needs to be added, Mia, that we that can't wait.
Yeah. Office assistant position.
Okay.
Everything else falls under other agenda items.
Okay. Elisa?
No, I'm good, thank you.
All right then. So let's get started. Just remember, everyone, if you're going to speak, when you speak, say who you are so people at home know, in the beginning at least, who you are. Everybody knows who I am at this point, like it or not.
Like it or not.
All right, so Mike, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
So, update on activities. Are you the leader of the pack for now, or how are you doing this?
The deer leader, as they call me.
Okay. Off we go.
Okay, thanks for having us out tonight. So, first thing I want to talk about is a little bit about the ongoing park grant with regard to the resurfacing of the town center park pickleball/basketball court. We need to get some documents signed if we're going to continue to pursue that grant. I mean, we have received the grant. We've received $16,000, $16,500 for a project that's going to cost about $23,500. We have currently in Parks and Rec stabilization accounts, I think it's about $3,000, Pat, is that about right?
Right, in a whole account, I think we have about $5,000.
So we have about $5,000, which is $3,000 in stabilization accounts, and then the other is fundraising that we've done so far. And we were looking for the town to match the Parks and Rec about $1,000 to close that gap. So the Parks and Rec would raise another $1,500 to support that project, and we'd be looking for the town to provide $1,000 potentially to help fund that project. There's also some question about there's some lingering question about the grant requirements. One of them, which involves actively dedicating or acknowledging that the underlying property where the project is going to occur is open to the public and is operated as a park. We don't discriminate against people for using it, etc. There was an issue raised, I think, by the select board that brought in your email to the group about the net effect of taking an active designation of the community park and labeling it a community park. And I kind of researched that a little bit. I looked into that. And I think in my opinion, there's, you know, the action to designate a park is sort of form over substance, because as the park exists already, it would be considered to be Article 97 parkland by implication, because it's been held out to the public for going on probably 50 years as a park. And under mass case law, that tends to be pretty persuasive, because there's this concept called the public use doctrine, which I said, and you know, there's a case out of Westfield, and that is sort of the seminal case from 2017, that basically the Supreme Judicial Court of the state has extended the reach of Article 97 to include instances where properties or parks were not specifically designated as parks, but by virtue of their use by the public, they have been implied to be public parks. So in the case of Westfield, the city had a playground that they got in the 1960s, and they operated as a town playground for 40 years. Then in 2011, they wanted to turn it in, they wanted to build a school on top of it. And the neighbors didn't want to have the school built on top of it. So they contested the ability for the town or the municipality to transfer the use from parkland to school use, not a public use. And the Supreme Judicial Court found that indeed the city could not transfer it because the property had been held out as a playground, which constituted a park, for X number of years. And over the years, the city had referred to it as a playground. It had actually obtained grants in the past, acknowledging that it was a park. And so by implication, the treatment of that land was as a park. And in order to take land in Massachusetts out of park conservation, it requires a two-thirds vote of the legislature. That's legislature. Article 97 was passed is an amendment to the state constitution passed in the 1970s that basically requires a supermajority of the state legislature, two-thirds majority vote, to take land out of park preservation for other uses. It's never happened in practical terms. They've never actually taken land out of park designation. And so my point was, by the town just adopting and acknowledging that this piece of property is town park, it would have no net effect because the town can't actually in the future really reuse that for any other purpose. Because what's going to happen is, if the town ever tried to transfer it, you're going to get a group like the Conservation Law Foundation who will come in and will contest the validity of the transfer, mm-hmm. absent the legislature. So my point is merely, what's the harm in doing it, I guess, if we just acknowledge that that piece of property is town park. It's been, you know, there's a park, there's a plaque there that says Heath Community Park, I think from the 80s. So that would be persuasive in court. So I'm just curious if there's, you know, maybe town council could opine on it a little bit more. I mean, it just sort of seems like one thing that I am kind of eager to get done is, you know, we have to, if we're going to proceed with this grant, we have to have it on the town meeting agenda in May. And there would just be a vote of the town meeting in May to just designate, take a formal designation. But basically, it's acknowledging the current status of the park. Because I think that there's an idea that maybe you could use it for other purposes, but, you know, functionally, not really. Because it's already been held out to the public as a park. That's why I was so careful, because there was, in the previous charge of the Parks and Rec, there was some references to treating Jacobs Road as a park, and it's like, let's not do that. Because once you do that, even if you label it a park, and the public starts to use it and treat it as a park, there becomes this implied acknowledgement that it is parkland via the operation of the public use doctrine. So that's my thought on that. I mean, I think it's a distinction without a difference, you know, in terms of like for our whole practical purposes. So that's the one piece there. Robin, just to answer your question about that, I'm hoping that, you know, we can sort that out, because we, you know, we do have this grant, and it does turn into a pumpkin at a certain point in time if we don't get back to them with the documentation for it, or at the very least we can start signing some of the agreements, and those agreements obligate us to take action in the spring, but we could always just, if the town meeting rejects it, the town meeting rejects it, you know? So I guess there's two things there. There's one, there's the small funding piece, which is $1,000.
Well, and the town using this chart, like the stabilization account needs a vote at town meeting.
At town meeting, yep.
The donations to date, where did those all come from? Like how is that? I assume that's the donations that are listed in our...
Pat and I speak to that. There's two buckets. So there was a couple years ago, some folks got together and tried to retar the, or seal the basketball court. So they raised money from that. And then Pat, our pickleball captain, has been fundraising relentlessly around the pickleball people and raised money for this project.
Yeah, I think we've so far about $1,200 in pickleball donations from the clinic and then just donations.
And then
about how much? $1,200.
$1,200.
So of the donations to date, which is 26 and 2663 or somewhere around that, depending on where we are. So there were obviously donations prior. Does anybody know why people donated before?
Because when we did the resurfacing of the court, we raised too much money. Mm-hmm. So we didn't return the money because it came in under budget. So that money is still there with the idea of using it. We told all the donors that basically it could be used for the pickleball in the future. So that's a valid use, I think, of those donations. And then the idea would be to raise another $1,200 within, whatever you want to do, a crowdfunding situation. And I think we could close that gap if we got the $1,200 out of the town. And it's pretty good leverage if you're looking at from the taxpayer's perspective. I mean, we're bringing in, we're asking for $1,000 and we're matching it with, 22,000. So it's pretty good. If you're looking at it from a leverage return on investment perspective, that's pretty good.
Well, like the stabilization money. I mean, some of these monies came from taxation at one point in time.
Right, and some of them were donations from way back when.
Yeah, I also see a donations anticipated.
Mm. For $1,005.
Yeah, we think we can raise that.
That's what we think we can just raise. It's 10 people or $100 or 12 people.
And we also paid for the $16,000 the state will give us through our state taxes.
Right. Yeah. All right. All right, so we need to follow up with council a little bit on the land designation.
Right.
We need to. So that means taking all of any money that's set aside for Parks and Rec and investing it into that one project.
We haven't used any. All of the money that we've been using for Parks and Rec for the last 5 years has all been grant funding. We've never even actually touched the annual $100 allocation from them.
Yeah.
So I think it's an investment. I mean, that's what a state.
Well, and at the end of the day, it's the taxpayer who's going to make a decision on some of it anyways.
Town meeting.
ATM.
So this is for the resurfacing of the pickleball court.
And basketball.
The multi-use court.
The multi-court.
And
painting lines and so forth. Okay. How long will that last before it needs to be redone?
I think they're estimating 10 years' time.
I think the resurfacing part is quite stable. They'll seal the cracks. They'll put this. I forget the. It's like a half-inch surface or something like that. And then the paint that they put on it integrates with that. Mm-hmm. Surface, so it's more durable. Like the stuff we use was just the stuff they paint on lines in the road, and so that only lasted like 3 years. But this is actually integrated into the surface; it's a separate process, and so that will last a lot longer.
Okay.
And fortunately, the subsurface is in really good shape. It's a very solid gravel base, and the asphalt that's there is in remarkably good shape.
So I think, I'm not sure if this is true, but Art had mentioned that when they did that in the 80s, that might have been grant funded too. And so that may have been, the town may have, just to go back to the Article 97 thing, made representations to the grant funder, if it was a federal grant or a state grant, about this being a park. So just something to keep in mind. And that prior representation would be binding on the status of it.
But there used to be a play structure there too, mm-hmm. that was also put there as a park. It wasn't associated with the preschool, it was after the preschool, so it was this whole play structure. But
is that different from the class action jungle gym there?
Yeah, this was a big wooden thing that was wrapped around with the trees, and eventually the pier and mm-hmm. was taken away.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there was one question that I could never get an answer from the folks that provided the proposal, and that was about shimming cost. If shimming was going to be required, I think I'm looking at you, Bob, because you're just shimming. Having that conversation about. So they don't have in their quote anything built in for any type of leveling. So if anything, like if anything needs to be brought up, shimmed up to make it level,
well,
that would be at an extra cost.
Yeah, that's why I was saying that the assessment of the existing structure is that it's stable and it's level.
Okay. So there shouldn't be. I'm just trying to make sure that if
it doesn't get add on,
change,
and we not have a way to pay for it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
A legitimate way to pay for it.
Whoa,
where are you going? You going to work for the leather guy down there?
No, but I mean, like, we don't. We'd have to take it from something.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Select. I'll go to finance committee and
yeah,
ask
yeah,
to go
yeah,
to the reserve fund or go.
Yeah.
You know, these we'd have to like then say, oh, what do we do? Because we've emptied all of the accounts that
right.
legitimately could cover that overage.
So if we,
I mean, in my mind, it would be better if we were able to have a larger pot of money in place
buffer.
In preparation, a buffer. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like a
contingency.
So if we have added in an additional contingency, what do you want to price that 10 person?
I don't know. Something to think about. It's just
yeah,
these
I mean,
are my spitballing that I did bring up before. But that I just want to keep in mind, because if we're going to go to ATM with it, which we have to, sometimes that's what we've done, is we've built in a little bit of a contingency when we ask the voters to vote on something, full well knowing that if it doesn't get spent, then at another time we can vote to put it back into like the stabilization
so
account.
What's
the
reasonable
type of thing,
ask?
So. And then let's, we'll think about it. I mean, we've got some time to think about it. Yeah.
I think
that's a question that when we have our budget conversations with the finance committee, which some of them are here listening anyways right now, when we have those conversations at budget time, we can say, you know, this is something that we're going to put out for folks to vote on. We need to figure out how much we're going to attach to this, or would we take it from free cash, or would we, you know, what would we do? We have to have
right.
that conversation at another level. So,
because the town, I mean, obviously we want to have like a draft contract in place, right? But I don't think you can like do a GMP as a municipality.
No,
it's like
it clearly said that it would be an extra cost in
yeah.
their proposal.
Yeah. So,
and I asked for a budget. I asked for a square foot cost. Just to have something to gauge it on, but that hasn't come yet.
Okay.
Maybe by then we'll get
yeah.
something.
They're in Florida this time of year.
So.
You're in the asphalt business, aren't you?
but yeah, so I mean, we can
the contingency and
keep
the,
working on that piece
yeah.
of it.
Back to listening. Contingency, 10% contingency on the project, right? So $2,300.
It's probably a fair amount.
Yeah.
Probably is.
So the total prop. Project cost would be like 26 something, and then you know 2,300 of that being a contingency, and then our expectation would be to return it. So I guess maybe we could sort of split the difference. We raise another $1,500 through crowdsourcing, and the town kicks in $2,500, and hopefully only have to spend $1,000 on that.
Right.
Seems fair.
So we can keep looking at that. We can talk to council about the land designation. And I hear what you're saying. I'm not arguing it
yeah.
at all. I just want to make sure we have everything that we need in place.
And that it's
so
clear.
Right.
And we're not, you know,
making assumptions or just going off, gosh, that makes sense. It's got to be, because we're dealing with a legality issue here. I just want to make sure we're really on solid ground before we commit to something. It's kind of my concern, a little hesitate based
sure,
on
yeah.
some of the experiences that we've had in the past years. It's like, I don't want another one. So I just want to be really, really clear about what we can do and what we can't do with this particular grant.
And so we don't need to do anything.
Well, we do need to fill out. I'd like to ideally pass on. Hi, Nia. How are you doing?
Hi.
I'm Mike. By the way, I didn't introduce myself. I
didn't either.
I pass along the documents that we do need to get some signatures on sooner rather than later, which is like an agreement. Again,
yes.
We don't have to proceed, but we do have to send in the documents that say, hey, accept your money for now, subject to due diligence. Do you know what I mean? We're not obligated to do anything. We're not going to, it's a refundable grant. So we're not going to be expending any money by signing these documents. If we subsequently walk away, we walk away.
I think that's the supporting documents in mail packet 4, page 2-9.
Okay. And what happens if we don't sign now?
We run the risk of losing the grant because we had a deadline of the 31st of December to return these documents, and I got us a little extension because of the snowstorms.
Mm-hmm.
It being a small town. It's so funny to be on these calls because it's like real, like big cities, right? It's, you know, it's Worcester, it's Boston, and there's us with our $15,000 project. And they're like, most of the other projects are for like several million dollars. And we're just like, hi, we have this $23,000 tiny project.
And by
but we're
signing-
held to the same standards of like returning documents, all that stuff, all the documentation and due diligence that comes with it.
And by signing, does it obligate us to anything at this time?
No, we don't. It's just, we can walk away from it. We have 2 years to do this project, but we've got to get the documents in to agree to receive the money. I was in the grant award letter. So the other, like, because we're a small town, and they were just like, we were supposed to have had this town meeting stuff done by the 31st or a city council resolution, but we can't do that because we're a town. So it's sort of the square peg, round hole kind of thing with regard to this grant and its applicability across the state. You know, like they kind of expect, they don't really understand a town of like 600 people, but they're kind of used to dealing with.
How does it affect the town of Heath going forward that if we do sign and then things don't work out and we can't use the grant or the town, you know, at ATM, does it put us on a blacklist somehow of, oh gosh, we've offered Heath money and now they're not taking it, and why do we spend our time dealing with Heath because they've turned it away?
I mean, like, not legally, but I think there is sort of a, you know, we worked extensively. This woman, the woman that runs this program, came and visited us. We walked the site with her. She spent a lot of time dealing mm-hmm. with us. And the brain damage for her is the same as if she's doing a $5 million park in Boston versus this 20. I thought it was pretty cool that she came out to visit.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that we probably would get blacklisted if we don't do anything, like sign now, like, because we have enough. We've had this grant since September, I think. What's the date on that? Is it?
So you're saying you think we kind of get blacklisted if we don't sign now?
Yeah, we should do at least something to show that we are ready, willing, and semi-able to perform the obligations that we have.
But because this has to go to ATM for approval, I don't know if we are willing.
Right.
So I'm not willing. I'm a little,
right.
little confused about signing something yet. I don't know if we can actually move forward.
Well, I mean, that's the
town.
Thing. The town, this is the grant documentation. This isn't the full agreement. This
mm-hmm.
is just like the initial.
Well, this is the contract.
Yeah, you sign a contract, but the contract has, as a supporting documentation, has to have the town meeting. So if we don't have the town meeting, then it blows up the contract where we can't proceed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the requirements on the contract. So
we're signing you're asking us to sign the contract. It's not just a letter of intent. It's actually the contract. Is that correct?
What? With contingencies.
With contingencies built in.
Yeah. But the contingencies.
Yeah,
for
I don't see those. You don't
house.
See those yet? Huh? The contingencies?
Well, one of the, like, the list of attachments being town meeting vote, authorization to obligate the funds, all that stuff, those are contingencies. Absent those contingencies being hit, we can't proceed. We're not, the state isn't going to obligate us to move forward, just do the project. It's a reimbursable grant, right? So we actually have to perform the work first, and then we seek reimbursement in the back end.
Do we also have to have a separate account set up now and all the monies for the project shown in a bank account to proceed? I know some matching grants are like that.
No, I don't think so. I think we just, what the undertaking of the town meeting is to say that we're going to cover the entire cost of the project, because that's the way all sort of state grants work. We have to cover the cost with the exception of certain other bigger ones.
So we do have to have all the cash available.
We're saying that we have the cash available and that we'll be able to repay it. That's town meeting vote to obligate the funds. And then, so, like, for example, when we acquired land for the Davenport land up next to the Shapiro lot, the town meeting had to undertake a vote to authorize the funding that was then reimbursed. But prior to that, we had signed some document. We had signed the standard Massachusetts state contract. Whether you draw the money down is sort of these are the mechanics of it, right? So you get the grant, get the contract, sign it, and then that contract says you do this, 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 and this. And
well, actually, number one is take city council or town meeting vote. That's the first step.
And we got an extension on that because we're a tiny town. Do that without.
Yeah. I think with the Windows matching grant that we had to provide documentation that we had the money, our matching portion, sitting in a bank account before we could move forward.
Was that an MHC grant?
No, it was a.
It was a Mass Cultural Council.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, grant.
Right.
Cultural facilities grant.
Yes. So that's Mass Development.
Yeah.
That's right. That is who managed it.
This is EDA.
I know nothing about grants. I just know from the experience I have. So that's why I'm asking questions to say, okay, I know how it worked on that particular grant. What do we need to have in place for this particular grant?
The park project agreement and the state standard contract are two different things.
Correct.
So I don't have the park project agreement.
Well, that's an attachment to the. I forwarded that. It was in the actual original application. So it's that vote that previously I previewed when we said you're designating this property for. It's the Article 97 language.
Mm.
And that was part of the original grant paperwork. So it just says town meeting is reserving this land as a town park in perpetuity, basically, for the public access and non-discrimination and da 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 da.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
So, simply because I haven't been familiar with this whole situation ahead of, like, today, right now, when we're talking about bringing this, well, in the email that you responded to, that you sent me to give to the select board as, where you were responding to Robin's questions.
Yeah.
You put your responses in blue.
Mm-hmm.
That email. Robin had written something about this won't be able to go to the special town meeting for a vote. Is that the vote to designate it as parkland? Is that
so
what you're referring to?
There was a special town meeting that occurred. We had previewed this in September, the idea of going before the special town meeting, and at that time, the select board wasn't sure if they were going to have a special town meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically you have one to transfer $50 to the toilet paper account to the DPW or whatever it must be, but it has to be through the town legislature, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's town meeting is the town legislature. Only people who can obligate funds. We didn't make the deadline for that. They had a very discreet, bit of business they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't in that. So we would go to the annual town meeting, which
But is what you're bringing to it the vote to designate? Like, what are you bringing to a town meeting?
Then we'd have to bring that plus the money.
Okay.
It's not transferring any from the stabilization account. If we're going to ask people to use that towards it, that has to be an article.
The Parks Rec stabilization.
Mm-hmm. There'd have to be an article if we're asking the voters to put any type of monies in,
mm-hmm.
whether it's from free cash or I can't imagine we'd raise and appropriate this, but any type of transfer like that.
Okay.
But the standard language for those warrant articles is to raise and appropriate. So you always say that, even if you have a grant, so you always, the town meeting always has to appropriate the money, and then they can seek what's called self-help reimbursement through the state's Self-Help Act, which says that you can get grant reimbursement. That's how the state can transfer money to localities.
Okay.
But it has to always be authorized by the legislature of the town, which is town meeting.
So I have a question. Why does Parks and Rec have a stabilization account? What would be the purpose of the Parks and Rec stabilization account?
Something like this, any project that is related to Parks and Rec.
Okay, so this should be one of the purposes.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason why not to ask it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's no different than the vehicle stabilization account where we go to the voters and ask, you know, we've put X amount into the stabilization account that grows over years, and then we say, oh, we got to buy a truck, so let's ask the voters to transfer over $100,000 from the vehicle stabilization account into a purchase of the whatever truck.
That's very understandable because that's a physical thing, it's a truck. But Parks and Rec doesn't really own anything.
It's an appropriate request.
Okay.
Whether they agree to it or not is another story, but it is, yeah.
That's
I would not argue with bringing it forth.
Okay, and where does the money come from that goes into that stabilization account?
Well, it got voted in at some point in time, whether
taxpayers.
There might have been monies, I don't know how long that's been in there. Do you know, Ned?
I'm recalling there was a meeting where money was transferred into a bunch of sort of specialized stabilization.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it could have been in there, I don't know how long, I'd have to look back and see, but it could have been in there for 10 years for all we know, or 20 years, I don't know. I don't know when Parks and Rec was technically formalized in town. But at some point...
In the 1980s,
yeah.
In the Bible.
So there could have been money set in there.
The swimming pool that never got built.
Could be anything. And people, right, there could have been donations that over a period of time never got used. And so the select board went at ATM and said, can we take all these little miscellaneous accounts and put them into a stabilization for Parks and Rec for somebody in the future to request that be used for some other project? And then the townspeople probably voted, yes, that makes sense, and it sits there.
Okay, so if we drain that stabilization account, it will not be replenished, chances are.
Right, because it's not annually allocated. There isn't funds annually allocated.
No, but the select board does have, and finance committee, they do discuss when there's free cash, the free cash being divvied up and put in the stabilization accounts. That's something
mm-hmm.
that we would request if as a group, everybody thought it was appropriate. We could say, okay, well, we want to keep that account, so let's put, you know, $500 in it to start it growing, or whatever it is, $250, whatever.
No, I think it's appropriate to have some sort of fund in there,
yeah.
because you never know
Correct.
What you might want to purchase for
Correct.
The playground, or this or that, you know,
Correct.
It's just...
Oh, yeah, we definitely want to buy stuff.
Of course you do.
I mean, it's,
donations. Remember, a couple of years ago, we tried to allocate some money, and we got kind of pushback because we... Whatever, it doesn't matter. We didn't have a discrete enough project. So we can't, the thing with the stabilization account is that it can only be authorized to be released by the town meeting. And the mechanics of that are such in the town that it can only happen on one annual basis. If you want to put that, you buy a bunch of wiffle ball bats, you can't raid the stabilization account unless you go before town meeting. So
to tell them what you want to use it for.
So in practical terms, I think it makes sense to use this funding for the stabilization account and whatever other stuff you want to. We have this annual $100 allocation that you can use for your, you know, your the wiffle ball bats and stuff like that, or, you know. It just requires so much long-term planning about what you want to do with it, you know, that it's almost, it renders it almost impractical.
You know, it's like...
For our purposes.
Well, unless you had a long-term plan to, say, build something, build a basketball court, or build a...
Put in that swimming pool.
Yeah. Right. Then you could...
Hot tub.
If the town bought into the program... That'd be a conversation that could be had at meetings. You could have an informational meeting, and then you could say the select board could then start trying, as free cash existed, start building it up to in 5 years, 10 years, whatever that is, try to do that. You know, whether 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road, people would still agree with that philosophy. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, I think that I think Parks and Recreation is a legitimate. Endeavor, right? It's important to us. It's important to the kids. It's important to our future. So I don't see it something that you'd want to get rid of. And, you know, maybe we wouldn't drain it to zero as part of this.
Okay.
Maybe we keep $100 in it or something.
Right, that was a concern about draining that completely down to zero.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, leave that $100.
Right, because in practical terms, you then have to go back to town meeting to
set it up again.
So you got to keep some cash in there, right?
Yeah,
just to keep it. Net, I assume that's the rules.
You know, so we can juggle those dollars and cents, like I said, during budget season with finance committee about how it makes sense as we start to see everything else that falls out in the budget season. I don't think that there's any great opposition to the intent of the project. I think that's a statement of fact.
No, not at all.
Trying to make sure we do it in the right way.
We do it in the right way, the most efficient way, and
really
make sure we're doing it right.
So, honestly, before I sign this, just because I just need to know that I'm not signing something that's going to get me in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to take on reaching out. Do you keep talking with this Melissa?
Yeah.
I'm happy to send a note from the select board,
mm-hmm.
say we had this meeting, and these are the questions we have.
That would actually help me a lot because she's very upset with me.
She is.
Well, because we've been blowing past these deadlines, right? And Not obsessed. She's a lovely person.
Yeah.
She's accustomed to everybody else that got these grants. It's all professional staff. It's park commissioners. It's, you know, so
Well, I will do it in such a way that just confirms what I need to be signing so she understands it.
Yeah, that would be really helpful because that way.
Yeah.
You can emphasize the small town.
Oh, yeah.
Informal attributes of how things are done here, and that's just sort of.
No, I'll do that. I'll copy BOS and copy. I'll copy Mike. So you can send that out to your Parks and Rec
that
as appropriate.
Like a good thing to do. Touch base. What's her name? Melissa, you said?
Melissa Crane.
C-R-A-Y-N.
Great.
And I mean, I think she'll probably confirm the reimbursable nature of it and the need to have that town meeting kind of authorization to spend and then self-help, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. I will do that.
Great. Wonderful.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then we'll put this on the list of things we need to discuss at the budget season with finance, which they will have already heard part of this, so they'll know we got to think about it.
All right.
Great. Number two.
Woo. The Conservation Commission issue.
Yeah.
So I listened to the meeting back in whenever that was, and I was a little disappointed in it, to put it mildly, because I think there was an implication made that somehow Parks and Rec were trying to fight City Hall around that, and were, you know, trying not to comply or do whatever. And I do take umbrage to that. I'm not going to take it personally, but I'm just going to have to, you know, chalk it up to kind of generational difficulties with communicating things. The enforcement order itself, I think, is a little unnecessarily adversarial in that regard. It's almost like seeking divorce because your wife hasn't done the dishes rather than leaving her a note about it. Like, it's it's a pretty extreme thing to do. There are much less adversarial means of addressing the issue, and I think that the Conservation Commission could have taken those actions instead. But by issuing a enforcement order against the town, they have effectively sued the town and entered into an adversarial relationship, and have actually done this in, I think, unknowingly. I don't think they had any appreciation for the legal implications of what steps they were taking. And to that end, I would kind of encourage, I would encourage the select board to adopt the policy going forward that in any instance where the Conservation Commission is seeking to issue an enforcement action or an enforcement violation, they run that by town council. Because in the previous iteration of this, what then became the enforcement action, there was an inclusion of a neighboring parcel of property. And the allegation was made, it was Jordan Lively's property. The allegation was made in a memo prepared by the consultant to the Conservation Commission that this via these violations were on his property. That is a very, very serious allegation to make. Because once you issue an enforcement order, the only way to appeal an enforcement order is in superior court. So even if it was an erroneously issued action, Jordan would have had to have gone, would have had to hire counsel, sue the town in superior court, and the town would have been subject to legal liability arising from that. They would have had the legal costs associated with that. They also would have been subject to potentially punitive damages for factual inaccuracies around the filing of an enforcement order. Now, thankfully, somebody intervened and pulled that person off of it because they were going to lien his property. That is radically, that is a very aggressive move. And I guess my point is this, is that I really wish that if there was a statement made by the chair that I had been personally requested to do something over the years, we had had a meeting, and I just wish that the chair had sent me an email requesting me to do that. I printed off all of the emails that I received from the chair related to this matter, and you know I can provide those. But basically, the issue is this. I asked questions. I didn't receive answers. And I just feel like with everything on a national level, like one thing that we can do locally is communicate with each other and avoid unnecessary adversarial action. I think the Conservation Commission was well-intentioned by taking this action. I think that they did so based on some representations that didn't fit this situation. Typically, an enforcement action is the last step you take if you can't get compliance out of somebody. So if somebody is like, you know, screw off, I'm not going to listen to you, Conservation Commission, that's not what's happening here. That never happened. And I really wish you just had the opportunity to discuss it with the Conservation Commission. Because there's allegations in the enforcement order that don't fit the timeline, the facts, or any of that stuff. So, for example, there's this allegation that we've filled wetlands. Well, what we did, and this all arises out of general miscommunication because the chair used to be the chair of the select board. We had previewed this at the fair. Everything is a bit informal, and I apologize for the informalness. I mean, I've learned a very valuable lesson about putting everything in writing when dealing with the Conservation Commission, because it seems like there's a lot of stuff that just sort of, it's volunteer board. It's not a professional operation, and they're trying their best, and they're doing the best that they can. And, I also, I have a job. I live on a different continent every other month, so, if we don't work through email, things fall through the cracks. I think that they were trying their best. I think that they were heavy-handed in what they didn't understand the implications. So basically, the Conservation Commission is effectively suing the town. Now, the town could do this absurd thing where the Conservation Commission can never really enforce the enforcement action against the town, except by a DEP, unless the town appoints independent counsel to sue the town. It's just, it's a very bizarre way to go about it, because also there's nobody's fighting City Hall, nobody's fighting the Conservation Commission. It all stemmed from a misunderstanding about what the authority was to replace these culverts, some of which exist on a town roadway, and one that replaced an existing culvert that was put there by probably the snowmobile group. And then the other thing that happened is that the previous condition, I removed about 10 tires out of there. So the area in question was used as a log landing in the 1980s. And during that, they got this from Mark Schweiger. When they last logged the land. So there was a bunch of buried tires that I pulled out and took to the dump in Greenfield. And so the question is, in the enforcement action, they're looking to restore the previous condition. So my question to the Conservation Commission would be, do we have to get new tires and bury them?
They didn't check that box.
No.
They did not. You don't have to return it to original condition.
Oh, okay, so...
Just to file a restoration plan to cease and desist from all additional actions. So a restoration plan would just be to restore it to meet stream crossing standards.
Correct, yeah.
Right, well, right. That would be helpful if they elucidated that more clearly.
I mean, it's a box. They just didn't check it.
Yeah.
They checked
it
the box.
Says restoration plan filed with the authority right before July 1st, and... Wetland and intermittent stream trail crossing repair shall meet the performance standards for bordering vegetated wetland bank and land under a waterway and meet mass stream crossing standards to the greatest extent feasible.
So what does that? So what does that mean?
That means
to hire a site civil engineer,
professional wetland consultant to
assess
the situation and recommend strategies for restoration and repair.
But a consultant can't really issue stamped drawings or anything like that, right?
That's what they're asking for. I mean, given my background as a conservation agent, when you say wetlands consultant, it could be a professional wetland scientist. It could be just somebody to advise the town in bringing... I mean, because any of us sitting here, and even with me with my background as a consultant, I wouldn't be able to go out there and tell you exactly, you need to do this, this,
mm-hmm.
and this to get this to meet stream crossing standards. They just want somebody to help the town make sure that it does, and then in order for the Conservation Commission to pull this enforcement order out of it being actionable,
mm-hmm.
they want that outside consultant to say, yes, this meets stream crossing standards.
Mm-hmm.
Then Billitrell would go look at it and say, yes, I agree, so we're going to revoke this enforcement order. I think that's all they're I don't think they're asking for stamped drawings. I think they're just asking to get that additional information from an outside source.
But
and then
with
an
enforcement order, isn't it the case that it has
yeah.
to be very, very specific and precise as to what the specific remedy is? So just to play devil's advocate here, so a wetland consultant could theoretically say, you know, do this, do that, it should be done like this, it could be done like that. It could be, that's the point I'm trying to make about the legal consequences of it, is that you have to be so specific in the enforcement order as to know exactly what the logical conclusion of that action would be. So it would be like restore to X previous condition or install, as you said, stream compliant culverts, period. So that would meet the standard. Do you need I'm just saying that it's a bit vague. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, when I wrote enforcement orders, and I've written many of them, yes, it was always advisable to make them specific, but you also don't want to make them too specific because you are not a wetlands consultant, nor are you an engineer issuing the enforcement
That goes
order.
To my point about the town council reviewing it, because the legal liability that stems from going with the extreme enforcement order? Because typically, in your experience, did you just issue an enforcement order, or would you start with something like a wetlands violation notice?
It's situational. Sometimes we would do notices of non-compliance, but there's no requirement to do so. You can say, you don't have to tell us, you can just send certified mail, here's your enforcement order, have fun.
Right,
it's not advisable. I mean, it's not nice
yeah,
thing
that's,
to do.
That's my
it's not
point.
Neighborly.
But it's also like it could create, you know, for the taxpayer, very substantial liability to the town, because if the enforcement order contains erroneous information
mm-hmm.
that's unsupportable, that then creates legal liability in court, and then also the town could be sanctioned by the court for bringing an action that is not right. And I'm not a litigator, but my understanding is that there's other ways to sort of take a bite of the apple without, you know, going to this extreme sort of measure of leaning somebody's property. And thankfully, it happened against the town. But I would just encourage the select board to adopt the policy going forward that if they do, that in any instance where there's a violation or that's reviewed by town council, just so the town is insulated against any net liability for being unreasonably vague. And
well, at the, I mean, I don't know that the select board can do that. We can ask for it get done, to be done and allow access to counsel. That's a statement that the select board can make.
Mm-hmm.
But since they're not appointed, we have no jurisdiction.
Sure, but I guess you could encourage them to do that just as a practical
matter. Yeah.
Because I know a lot of, like, so I've done projects in towns where they actually, they'll either be a conservation commission or a natural resources commission, and they'll actually have council themselves, so previous, because those are bigger municipalities.
Yep.
And I just think that we don't want the law of unintended consequences to occur in something like this, where everyone's trying to do the right thing and be well-meaning, but inadvertently, you know, expose the town to $100,000 worth of legal fees. That
so at this point,
a conversation.
We have to address it.
Yep.
We have to deal with it. And so at this point, we need to figure out who we're going to hire
as the consultant
to put together the
restoration plan.
Could also what about that? If we're hiring somebody, and then just in general, when the town hires consultants, make sure that the town is always getting indemnified by the consultancy. So get, you know, in order to do business as a consultant, I have a small consulting practice myself. I have to carry errors and omissions insurance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're responsible for...
Always make sure that the town receives an accord certificate. So in situations where there is a consultant hat, you know, town board or something, does something on the, you know, relying on the basis of a consultant that turns out to be erroneous, the town can look to the consultant to make it whole. So I think as a policy, that's a policy the select board could mandate.
Yes.
And that is just good practice. And
yeah.
I'm surprised it's not the law. It's voluntary in Massachusetts, but most municipalities require it.
Okay. So.
And I'm not trying to fight anyone here. I'm just
trying
I'm trying to.
I mean, I think that we're going to have to get some quotes as to what it's going to cost. And obviously using the enforcement order as the guide for which someone needs to address this, you know, what we need, we really should get more than one quote. Now,
well, I don't know if it's a, we're putting out quotes, but we need a consultant to put together the plan of how we're going to restore that, and
right.
That gets quoted.
Right, so you put together a scope.
We
right?
First, we want the cost of the consultant.
Have to pay the consultant.
That's the first
person. The cost of the consultant.
Yes.
To come in. Okay, so I now I understand
first.
When you're saying get bids. I'm like, well, how?
Because
we can't do the project
together,
without the consultant.
They have to put together a proposal to be the consultant.
There's two ways to do this.
Okay, I understand what you're
saying. There's two ways to do this. There's the request for proposals method, which you've outlined your full scope, and the RFQ, request for qualifications. The request for qualifications methodology allows you to go out and contact firms. The RFP process says that you have to issue that. So what you do with an RFQ is...
And we're just looking for them to address, put together their...
Yeah.
How would they address this and what is their potential cost? They're not going to probably... They might give you a hard number, but my guess is you're not going to get a hard number.
Right, and what are we asking? So we're just talking about a larger culvert to be installed there. Because the objective when in the grant, original grant...
Well, it doesn't really say that.
It does say that. It says that a culvert that meets stream crossing standards is the 12-inch dozen.
I think you could assume it based on
violation,
but it doesn't... Yeah.
Because that's the emergency access point to that land. So the idea behind the grant originally was to allow to restore these old culverts on the old road so that you could have emergency access. And now that we have this UTV, that becomes kind of even more urgent. So just removing the culvert would return it, well, would then create it, you know, was that would make it free-flowing, which previously was in this tiny little 4-inch culvert that somebody put there at some point in time. my understanding was that they were looking for...
They want the condition that exists to be rectified. The issue is the undersized culvert and an intermittent stream, placing fill in the wetland and constructing a non-compliant boardwalk over it. All of these actions constitute filling a wetland.
Kind of cute, but...
Mm-hmm. But yes. So this work does not comply with the state stream crossing standard. So we need someone to address that. That's the
is
very
that the
issue.
Conservation
that's
Conservation Commission asking that?
In the November 12th.
Yeah. And that's what my point is, that with an enforcement order, typically it has to be so narrowly tailored that it can stand up in court, because in the if you review the manual of, for conservation commissions, they always say, this is your last sort of step. Do it when you have, you know, non-compliant landowners who have consistently ignored wetlands violation notices, or there's an emergency condition that, you know, presents, you know, life safety, blah, 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 public safety. That's my point, is that if this went to court, if this was just, you know, Joe Schmo landowner, they haven't, this isn't complete enough to survive scrutiny, in my opinion. And that's my, that's why I'm just kind of like, it's kind of a head scratcher to me, because it could be, we could address this with a less aggressive adversarial process.
But here we are.
Right.
So we're looking forward on it. Right. So we're going to look, Mia, for, we might not be able to get a couple more than one quote, but if we can, we can. Mm-hmm. And we'd be asking them to give us a price for the review of this, the proposal on how to take care of it, and following it through permitting, proper permitting. And then we'll have to take that and get a price to do the work.
Right. It says,
and I think that what the hope was is that the highway department could do some of this work, but we'll see when we find out what the work is.
Yeah.
So it says here the crossing may be reestablished in accordance with state stream crossing standards. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
My read of that is that's the action to be taken.
Right.
So mm-hmm. It would be to what install the larger culvert. I assume that's true.
If that's what the consultant said.
Right, and that's where I guess I'm coming down with this idea of like. It could be a wetlands consultant, or it could be a site civil, you know? Because once you get into crossing, I mean, then you're talking drawings, right? I mean, a wetlands consultant would just opine on, okay, it has to be X diameter. But,
we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Right?
We'll find out.
Sorry this all happened, guys. I really think that it's a shame. It seems like it stemmed from just miscommunication, and I just really wish it wasn't so adversarial, because it sort of stinks to put the town. We, you know, Parks and Rec tries to do the right thing. We're, you know,
I get it.
We wouldn't have proceeded without some of the.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll move forward. We'll get there. What else? What's not, that's so that's two, one and two. What else you got? Anything that's easy?
Actually, Mia, this actually goes to you. So, as you leave tonight, you'll notice that after, I don't know, a year and a half of promising to do it, I finally got the signs up on the kiosk. There's one in the center of town and one here.
Oh,
so now you can submit for a full reimbursement from the UTV.
So we had a couple issues to talk about, and that's one of them.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not a done deal right now.
What's that?
Because now we have another issue about the kiosk in the center of the town.
What happened?
We have notification. I haven't really read through it all, but Mia has. Notification of concern that the location of the kiosk does not meet our zoning regulations.
The one in the center of town by the basketball court.
So, interesting. So, town? I don't know. How does zoning apply to
it? It applies to sign
places.
There you go.
Sign regulations.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they, yeah.
I don't remember.
So, there is some
exact setbacks and all.
Well, Mia does because she checked on it today.
We have it all.
Tell us.
Tell
us.
So
we're wrong. That's all I can say. Let's just get to the point.
All right, that's so fine. I mean, I didn't. We didn't choose it. We were told.
There were people who looked at that.
There were. This person has pointed out that this is considered a structure per our zoning bylaws. And in our zoning bylaws, a structure is defined as anything constructed or erected, the use of which requires a fixed location on the ground or attachment to something located on the ground to give support or shelter, including buildings, mobile homes, billboards, tanks, or the like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then, if it's defined as a structure, then per the bylaws, I'm going to say it's section, wherever the intensity regulations are, there should be a 50-foot setback, and the kiosk is only 26 feet from the road. Then the additional caveat would be our sign regulations say that the only... Oh, where is it?
There you go.
The only off-premises signs that are allowed in the town of Heath are tourist-oriented directional signs and, quote-unquote, trailblazing signs. Those are only allowable per you're following a special permit granted by the planning board.
Okay. So we're in luck there because these are wayfinding signs. They are tourist elements. That was, they contain signage, directional signage, and historically significant elements. So we would, I guess, retroactively have to go before the planning board to get a special permit to authorize this non-complying.
You got it.
Okay, so we need to go about it that way. And then, I guess, it's a question for town council. Does that absolve us of the zoning violation? If we have a special permit, can we do it retroactively? For a non-conforming use?
Don't know.
The 50 feet would be another issue.
Well, because a special permit would allow us to move it even closer to the road.
Does the sign regulation supersede that?
Oh, true, that's another question. That I don't know. Let's see if there's a...
I'm going to go out. I have to go back and read what I wrote back in
1987. I'm going to say, isn't the person here in the room?
Way to go, Bob.
Now you're asking him to remember a very long time ago.
Oh, you're another Bob?
Bob Dane.
Oh, that's Bob
Dane.
Okay.
One of the four Bobs in Heath Center.
Oh.
Well, I guess actually there's five if we count Bob again.
So Bob's not one of the four?
There's Bob Viarigo, Bob Burke, Bob Gruen, and Bob Dane.
Oh my goodness, this is confusing. Okay.
Bob Center.
We have designations too, but we won't get into that.
I don't see any sort of statement that says this supersedes this.
Well, because a sign setback, a tourist information finding sign, just to put on my irritating pest pad, would reasonably be placed in the right of way of the roadway.
So you can be set in the right direction while you're, instead of having to look for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Go 50 feet off the road.
Exactly.
Yeah, so one would imagine that's probably written that way.
Yeah, so other signs that have been placed in town have certainly been within the 50 feet setback.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
So it's also, it's present in the park, it is an informational sign.
I mean, there's nothing on it right now.
Well,
there now is.
There is now.
You did now. You did today. You did it a day early.
Oops.
No, it's not a bad thing. I just
no, no,
did it. I wasn't thinking about it.
So, does it just make sense to move this sign?
I'm okay with moving it. I want to be very clear. We put it there because it was being told that it was supposed to go in the back of the door. That slide is not selected by us. I'm agnostic as to the location of it. We just had to do something. The idea was to create an informational block. There's no malice intended by it. Mm-hmm. Helma told us it's Tim, dig safe, this is where it's going, boom.
Right. So we're going to move it.
Let's move the sign.
Why not? There's something about 10 feet.
But where's it going to move to?
Well, yeah. Even if we are in within zone, in if we're okay in zoning, it may just make sense to adjust the sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there was we had walked it and we got a complaint about it. We had sort of said, "Oh, okay, we don't care. We'll put it over." We're like, "We don't care." You know,
right.
Like, we don't care.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not speaking for everybody, but I don't care.
Yeah, personally, I don't think it's the best place anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been my first.
So let's agree to move it.
I'm agreeing to move it.
Let's agree to make sure we're moving it within our zoning regulations.
In a place that makes sense based on the information that is on that kiosk.
Let's have Bob Dane give us a more preferred location.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Because he needs something. Because he needs something to do.
I think that's great.
Because there is a concern. Part of the reason I think I ended up where it was because we initially were like, "Oh, we'll stick it by the fiber shed." You know, you pull. It's kind of like a parking spot there. And then
That's not a good spot.
The DPW
there.
Is like, "Nah, we plow snow there," and
right.
Then the same thing with the town common. And you're like,
right. Well, let's give Bob a stab at it. See if he can give us a recommendation.
Bob, do you accept the assignment?
Oh, sure.
Of course he does. I just need eye contact and clear communication. That's all I'm looking for.
And then we will have work with the highway department to get it moved.
Yeah.
Creating a lot of work.
It's all right. This one they can handle.
Yeah.
Well, so it is in sonotubes.
I know. I get it. I understand.
It's like...
I understand.
We could probably chop it off and turn it into... It's like 4x4 pressure tubes. You could probably build a bench.
A bench?
But that might be a structure.
I don't think we have bench regulations.
Bench.
You never know. It might be
lying. And the other thing that needs to go with it, there's also an opportunity. There's a bike pump. That hasn't been installed yet because the sonotube is too small. Because the size that we spec, so we have these bike pumps that'll be there as part of that are part of the project. I have them.
So the minimum side setback is 10 feet from the front of the property line.
With your special permit, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Good job, Bob.
Thank you.
No problem.
But let's still look and see if we can find something that makes people a little happier.
Yeah, where are the people?
But still work.
And it's still effective.
Right.
And it's still serving as a sign.
Right. That would be spectacular. And once we have that spot and everybody's good with it,
right.
Then we'll talk to Tyson and.
So we can't have flashing lights.
Damn it.
We should put it in. I'd like to apply for a special permit to put neon all around.
Oh,
I can.
Is that good?
You
are
most likely
to it's the best solution to have.
As a current member of the
planning
board. Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, more I know.
Yeah.
That's why it was a perfect job for Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am happy to raise money.
I love when you come up
people,
with
that's
spot,
why people
let
don't
know,
come
Bob.
To these meetings, because you leave with a task.
it's not the first time.
you see people show up, you go, ooh, I know what I'm going to hand off to that person.
Anyway, so. That's the only one I could find printed out. I don't think it is.
Elma
said it wasn't.
Is this
okay.
So one thing I just really quickly about.
Yeah.
You put the town bylaws on the website. I think the state requires it. They're not up there currently.
They are.
They are?
We're going to make some.
I've been meaning to talk to Pat about it.
We're going
to
make some changes.
I think they're on the town clerk's page.
Well, they were, but the town clerk's page, half of it disappeared all of a sudden.
Did it go away?
That's what I was going to talk to you about. Oh, that's why you can't. But if you look it up in our website, you can find them.
Oh, okay.
They're
it's
there.
A
they're just,
keep on.
That's
and then I have one other thing.
Back, since it was in a different section.
Yeah.
So we have our
premises.
The two of them, right?
Well, no, because off-premises signs are
a sign.
Sign
it really doesn't
about
have much to do with
it. It's not a premises or
something.
Hold between
these here.
Right.
To
right.
Take notes.
Whereas this is.
Yeah, I think no, because I think I already emailed it. But.
Premises.
Okay.
Oh, no,
beautiful. I mean, makes sense.
One of the things that would be helpful for me is I am a constant peruser of our budgets that we get. I am a constant, I am the checking every dollar and cents that everybody, and I'm always asking questions. I need to have an update. And I've already reached out to Dave, accountant Dave, on this, but I might need, Mike, some information from you as well. You've done this in the past. I would like to be able to look at all of the grants we've received, the Woodlands Park grants. Just like, remember you had like a list of them with how much they are and what we've spent on each one and what we are maybe not spending. I want to do another little review of everything.
Okay.
And just because I still see that I don't know if we're due to get some reimbursements at some point.
So for the UTV, that was Vanessa and the state was holding that up because of the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody, when they went to print the signs, mixed up a couple words.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to pay to redo all the signs.
All right. So
they're up now.
And that's fine. So at least I can see
that
in the...
That should be closed out.
Okay.
That grant should be closed out. No, I haven't, but I will tomorrow. When I have the pictures here, I'll flip them to you.
Perfect, or I can email her.
Yep,
whatever.
And
that was
very happy.
Mia, just so you know, that was one of the premises of the email I sent to Dave that started the conversation about what about some of the STM monies? When do those show up? When do we get to see that?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you and I will sit down and we'll go over special projects and the special accounts. Because that's been cleaned up a lot more than what's showing in these papers.
Really?
So
that would be beautiful.
Yeah. So
that
Dave had told me that when the switchover from VEDAR, or from whatever we were before to VEDAR happened, there's still some stuff that needs to be cleaned up.
Okay.
This is something I've been working on for probably three years now. Probably, Ned, I've been working, trying to clean things up for 3 years. I still have more to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Woodlands is one item that still is a little messy that's going to get cleaned up. And I think it's just making sure that the money comes out of the right pot. Sometimes it comes out of a wrong spot. I find it's got to get transferred back in. And
yeah, I can just give you,
so if you could give me all of the grants.
But I don't have any visual into payment of invoices.
Not payment, but you know what was expended.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Because
then I can go through and check it against the payments that were made and just make sure, because I don't even know that UTV was how much. I don't have it right here.
The grant was for $25,000 for that, so they, but they spent, the fire department spent like the foundation, fireman's foundation, which I incidentally set up years ago with Budge. Recently found on my computer articles of incorporation for that. So I think the price was coming out at like maybe 30 or 40 with all the bells and whistles. We need sirens. And there was like the base model that we got was, I think, 30,000 or something.
Where did that get purchased from? What's the name of the...
You'd have to talk to Nick.
Nick.
I
can look it back up.
We just paid money in invoices the other day and I can't remember either.
My
brain's not.
Maybe, honestly.
Nalt's Power Sports?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. All right, so that helps me a little bit.
Was that 30? What was
it? It said that the check was 25.
Oh, okay, so that was the town piece, and then so the other piece of that from the fire department.
Okay, all right. All right, so that reimbursement is still coming in. So that helps.
Yes.
With what I see that we're over.
Yes, that's this.
Okay.
Yeah.
This
okay.
Comes out.
Okay. Yeah,
that makes me feel better.
Him on that. I think I know where all that documentation is.
I like it when you feel better.
check off one more of my concerns on here.
What's that?
Talking to
myself. It's a tough gig, but we're getting there. All right. Well, that's helpful. But if you could still do that, and you already have part of it done.
Yeah,
you did it once before for us, for like up to $3,000.
Yeah.
So like, if you could just add to that, I don't know if you did it on the Excel spreadsheet, I can't remember. If you could do something.
I used Corel.
Oh, that's whatever. You did? Yeah.
Corel.
Yeah. So if you could do that for me, that would be great.
Yep.
I would greatly appreciate that.
We'll put it on my list.
Okay. Those were the two things I had. What else? What else? Bob,
anything? Just to clarify my charge here.
Yep.
So we're going to choose a spot that's agreeable to everyone, and the Park and Rec Commission will apply for the special permit to the planning board.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
do they still need a special permit?
Well, I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
But... Is it the structure?
Maybe before applying, just let us know where that spot is. Mark it or something. Tell Mark it with a flag and send us a note.
I'm not going to decide by myself.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So I assume that Jordan Lively is the complainant for the placement of this sign. And so should I consult with him about that?
I think that if it's just out of the line of sight that you are in right now, is that...
Kitchen window?
That would satisfy things, I think.
Especially if you put a flag. I said if we put a flag or something.
There's going to have to be a public hearing for a special permit.
True.
So.
For the butters notices.
That's right. Good point.
Yeah, so I think you just choose and then.
Yeah.
If there's an issue about it from any of the butters, we can revise it at that point in the special permit.
Are you including all four signs?
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah.
All four signs.
Because there are
four kiosks,
right?
Yeah, kiosks.
They all have to be in compliance.
Well, one is right here, so it's inside of town land.
Yeah.
It's not on a public roadway. This is...
Right.
So the other one is within the town right-of-way up in the state forest.
Does that matter?
I don't think it matters.
Not with signs.
It just matters if it's off premises.
Right.
So the one that's actually on the Shapiro land is fine.
Yep, that one's fine because it's
right. So
also
I guess
in
three of the kiosks.
But then also there's one in the state forest that is also in the town right away.
In the state forest. Okay.
So
there's one in Flagdale Road, right?
Yeah, that's the
Shapiro one.
That's on the Shapiro land. Really?
But it's actually it's in the right way of the town right away.
Yeah.
Well, if that were the case, then the one in the center is on premises and it's.
What does it say about town land?
What?
It's on town land.
Yeah, it's on town land.
So there isn't a zoning violation.
I would think it would apply.
I don't know. It depends on how it reads.
Oh boy!
If there's a clarity about.
There's been no pushback about any of the other kiosks, right? So let's just address this as okay. We got a special permit, and we move it. And.
Well, I'm saying for cost wise, because I mean, one legal notice costs, or it's actually two consecutive legal notices for a public hearing. So you're talking like $500. So if you're going to spend this $500, you may as well spend it.
Parting
it
all up.
Yeah.
I think if we're looking at this, I would like to make sure all four signs are in the right spot, legally placed. So let's just check all of them. Now we're going back and forth about whether it's in town right away or on, you know, someone's land or whatever. I mean, we need to know. That needs to be figured out.
Right. I guess that's a question also town councils. Does that zoning bylaw apply to town property?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask the question.
Because that,
for clarity.
That might be completely exculpatory. Because then theoretically, you'd have to get special permits for every time you install playground equipment here or.
Right. So, Mia, why don't you get clarification on that?
Yes.
Please.
I'll add that to my council
questions. All right. Okay, so...
So I should still...
Look for a spot.
Look for a spot.
Look for a spot.
Yeah.
Yes,
that'll
sir.
Be, that'll be moved no matter what.
Yeah.
Whether we get a special permit or not.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The answer to that is definitely yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we have four items. I'm following up on resurfacing of the court. Bob's following up on the sign. What else we have? The money stuff. Mike's sending me a budget, the budget information.
On the grants.
On the grants.
On the Woodland Park grants.
And Mia's working on
clarification,
getting quotes for consultants to follow
and
up on the
among other things. There's a and council.
And council.
Yeah.
This most recent council, but then also council regarding park designation.
Yes.
Yes.
Park
designation. Yep. What else?
That is very productive.
Parks and Rec.
We could add to the list.
No.
Well,
I don't know. What else you got? So I asked Bob, what about Pat? Anything?
Well, we're doing lots of stuff. I mean, we've got our badminton net in the gym. And got our ping pong table we pull on here on Monday nights that nobody's using yet. But I have to promote it.
Oh, yeah.
And where is the ping pong table?
Well, it's stored in the gym.
Right.
Staging.
Yeah.
We bring it in here on Monday night.
Oh, you bring it in here? Oh, how fun.
Yeah,
okay.
It is fun, but I need to promote it. I need to do some advertising, which I'm going to do. We have a survey on the community all facelift colors that will go out by Friday, asking the community what they want for a color scheme with pictures and good. Let's see, what else are we doing? We got $200 towards that project from the Cultural Council. Thank you very much. let's see.
Did we figure out, so we have tried to chase a cultural communities council funding, but I guess because of the windows, we were blocked from it or something?
Not sure what you're saying.
Remember you're looking for another grant for Mass Cultural Council? To do the resurfacing of the
Cultural Council facilities.
Facilities grant, that's
right.
From Massachusetts, not
yeah.
from our local.
No,
it's
oh,
a state.
Okay.
No, the facilities grant. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry,
yeah, I was going to say we had not yet closed out our current.
Right, that's what it was.
We are operating the Windows Project is a matching grant through the Mass Cultural Council's Cultural Facilities Fund. And until that gets completed, we're not eligible to apply for another
okay,
one.
Well, thank you for telling me, because I was going bananas trying to submit that application, because there was an opportunity to get, I don't know, $100,000.
Yeah, some of them are large,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Facilities Fund was really substantial, so...
But I think that was matching.
There was
it is matching.
Yeah. So we were going to scale it back down to something more modest. In any event, we couldn't. So.
Okay.
I would.
What else?
Oh.
Barbara?
I would suggest, if you're thinking about applying for a Mass Cultural Council Cultural Facilities grant, it would be really important to have a bigger conversation beyond Parks and Rec. Because those grants can be very large and in theory could be used to totally upgrade the heating and cooling system in Community Hall. So instead of different organizations thinking about how they want to use that grant, I think there should be a bigger conversation about making the best use of it. Because once there's one out, you can't go for another one until that one's completed. So,
when will this one be completed?
Yet to be determined. The windows. Are the windows all done?
The
windows are
done.
Well, part of it is the storm windows
storm
that we're having
issue.
Challenges with.
Another one broke.
What?
Another one.
A storm window?
That's why it's on the agenda.
A storm window?
No,
I was like,
what?
No, I was like, no, not, no. Okay, no.
Right.
Storm window.
To come. All right. Okay, thank you. All right, Parks and Rec.
We're done, but Brian
walked
in. Or,
you're not here for Parks and Rec, though, right? No, he's here for heating and cooling.
Yeah.
Energy Advisory Committee, Brian.
Yeah. Ah, that hat.
Not Conservation Commission, Brian.
Yeah.
Two different Brians.
All right.
Okay, Parks
well,
and
thank
Rec.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That felt very productive.
Yeah,
very
I do
much.
Feel like
I
did.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Accomplished good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Next on the reviewing minutes, so we're going to have to table the 12-9 again. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. Realizing that delays it actually getting posted on the website. And that's,
yep.
No. I'm sorry, I started that. I take full responsibility.
And so right now we're going to take a look at the Ta-Nehisi Select Board meeting minutes for Tuesday, December 16th. 2025.
Bye,
thank you.
Bye,
thanks. What you got?
I think I only have one, and I think that was on the second page, at least it's on my second page, but it's listed as third page. Actually, it's a third page. At the bottom, for next meeting, it says Monday, December 29 at 4 p.m. This meeting started at 5.
I'm looking at the wrong one.
Here we go. You know what I'm saying?
No, it was going to start at 4.
Yeah.
Because that was a Monday meeting. That's the one we canceled.
We were trying to get...
Oh, today's not December 29th?
No.
No, this was the one we canceled before I left.
You're right. My apologies.
I was going to say, wow, you found something because I was pretty good with it.
Damn. Well.
All right, so now... I have a motion to accept the Town Heath Select Board meeting minutes for Tuesday, December 16th, 2025, as presented.
Yes, so moved.
And I'll second it. Further discussion?
Nope.
All in favor?
Elisa, aye.
Robin, aye. Very good. And we'll circle back on December 5th at the next meeting. Okay.
December 9th.
December 9th, excuse me. Yes.
You get it right. Yeah.
All right.
Anything overly. Oh, yeah, he was. That's the school stuff.
So if people are complaining that the minutes from December 9 are not posted on the website, it's solely my doing because I was not prepared to approve them when they presented.
That's all right.
And now we can't present them. We can't do them because Will is not here. So
stuff
my apologies.
Happens. Stuff happens.
So. My responsibility. Come yell at me.
All right. Public comment. Anybody?
Sure.
I was just going to say, Pat, you got anything? I didn't even get to get it out.
Well, it was interesting. You were talking about the minutes not being posted. And I was wondering, I've been wondering right along, if we couldn't have draft minutes posted and then updated and amended. And you're shaking your head, why not?
Because if there are errors in them, then that's information that's been posted publicly, and then that's how things get miscommunicated and misunderstood.
Well, I was just reading on the MassGov website today that I believe that draft minutes can be posted. I'll check that. But
people can ask for them if they want them.
Oh, okay, that's it. People can ask for them. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
We can do it that way.
Okay, so the problem is that if your meeting takes place, and then it might be 4 to 6 weeks before the minutes come out. And people think nothing is happening, and they're wondering what's going on. It's one of the reasons I started Heath Connects, because it's like instant gratification. And I sit here, and they're live. And they may not be accurate, too, but I have my disclaimer. But it is a problem, and maybe it's not fixable.
I think it's many attempts have been made to fix it. One, the meetings are open to the public.
Yeah.
But you see, there's only X amount of people who show up, those of you who are involved in some way and already know stuff that's going on. And two, they can listen to the recording, because that recording goes on
very
how quickly.
Right, and that's a good thing. But sometimes the quality of the recording isn't very good. And I had at one time asked if there could be microphones, because we have this at town meeting. But...
I'm sure it's not me who people.
No, it might have been Tim. Yeah. It might have been Tim that I approached.
But typically we're meeting every 2 weeks, and the immediate minutes get approved every 2 weeks. So maybe they'll get can be posted every 2 weeks and be more efficient in the time in which they get posted.
I have to be honest with everyone. I don't look. I'm here. I'm present. I know, so I don't look at them once they get posted.
I don't look at them either. But
I don't know how long they're taking. But we can ask Mia to make sure they get posted as soon as possible.
I will happily make sure that I post from this point forward minutes as soon as I can humanly do so. Tomorrow morning, I will try to post the December 16th ones as right away.
But there are times, everybody, you know, that other things
like me, I screwed
come
up.
Come in and create a
right.
something that's a little bit more urgent than posting the minutes.
Right.
So,
true. And then we had
and then sometimes there's meetings and sometimes there's a day off and mm-hmm. just stuff happens.
So happens.
As soon as
come to the meeting.
Possible.
And Mia, I'll be happy to post them too if you want to.
Okay.
Want to send them to
that's
me?
Good
I'll
to
be
know.
Happy to post them.
Awesome.
Since I live on my machine.
So. I think that over the last handful of years, more and more steps have been taken to get the word out. We've tried to put more things in place, right? At some point, the biggest way to know what's going on is come to the meeting.
No, I mean,
come to the meeting.
It wasn't a criticism. It was just a...
No. I didn't take it as such.
Yeah. And most of you speak up and can be heard on the recording. Sometimes not Will. Mm. And sometimes you will turn to talk to
but when I make eye contact and look at Robin.
Yes.
Don't look at me anymore.
I have to look at people when I'm talking to them.
Putting a blinder up. Don't look at me.
But people, like when Tyson sits in the very last row and mm-hmm. speaks, sometimes it's not always clear. So maybe at least folks could be asked to move forward.
Sure.
Get a hot seat.
Sure.
Hot seat, right? You have to come forward.
Well, I think, actually, I think it would, yes, I think that that people should be faced. It's hard because they're here to meet with us, not the public. Mm-hmm. They're here
it
to
would,
meet with
it
us.
It could be. I've seen other boards.
But they
do
move
it.
Up a little bit. Yeah.
Or you even have like
a podium.
An extra table in front of
yeah.
these tables with
yeah.
a couple chairs.
I mean, bigger town meetings actually have a podium, like when I was living in them.
Yeah.
That they would have to come up and announce themselves.
Yeah,
and
people.
But we're not going to do that.
They don't want
to
do that. We gotta do our best. We just keep doing our best.
Well, and it's good. It's a big improvement, and it's good. It's just that occasionally, on the recordings,
mm-hmm.
it's
hard to hear. Yeah, Devin was even talking about that the other night when I saw her that she can hear you just fine.
What do you know?
But she has to hold it up to her ear,
and then
and
I talk,
and she's like,
then I speak.
Sorry, Devin.
What we've found, too, is that there is a tremendous difference in how audible the recordings are depending upon what someone's using to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And one computer to another or someone's
oh, really?
Phone. Oh, yeah. Huge difference. And, in fact, Elisa, as I recall, you were saying you were on one computer and you couldn't.
Yep.
It sounded muffled. And when you switched to the other, it was...
Yep.
Clear. So, you know, and that's out of our control. We
right.
can't control
right.
what people are using
right.
in their homes or their vehicles to listen.
Right. I mean, we can, we talked about this once before, and maybe we need to do it. Try trading places, Will and I.
I wouldn't be so far away.
I know, but, you know.
I can't think of your
voice. my voice, maybe that's it. And if he didn't have a screen in front of him, maybe it's a better projection.
That has been a request.
What if we added
yeah.
another
I
mess?
Have requested that.
I know.
What if you're
then everybody says, oh, I want you
can
in the middle. You just heard what she said. But
can
I think you try it.
Can we move the computer,
yeah.
like right here?
Then what
well,
happens
then
is I'm
you,
so loud.
Well, it isn't just about loud. It's about the angle that it catches. And the closer
so,
you get,
yeah, okay, yeah. Good
so job. In trying to,
so next
we did a lot of testing.
Remind
in the room,
me, and I'll try, and we'll sit over there. We'll switch and see. Remind that's. I'll put that up, Barbara. It's your job, Barbara, is to remind me at the next meeting to sit there.
Try, okay.
Have we considered one of
you're
those
so
cheap little conference call microphone things that just plugs into the USB and goes?
That's a good idea. And I go ahead, Brian.
before I left the board, we talked about getting one of those owls that you can use for, and that has a better microphone in it.
No, we did talk about it.
Yeah.
It's just no one ever moved forward.
You could just do the audio part.
All right, I'll look it up.
I think it was $1,800 at the time.
They're really expensive.
Yeah.
They are expensive.
That's why we didn't.
But maybe Furcog could help with their...
So there actually is a discussion at Furcog on that level talking about the owls or something like an owl.
They had a grant for technology, and that seemed like an appropriate...
Yeah, I think it's still being discussed.
Yeah.
Huh?
She didn't know what an owl was. I was just explaining it to her.
Yeah, it turns automatically when it picks up a voice.
Yeah, it focuses on who's ever speaking.
That's neat.
Just like an owl.
But we do have the microphones that are used at town meeting, and then there's one for people in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the technology.
But those have to be hooked into speakers.
Oh, right. Okay.
And you need to set up speakers as well as...
I'm done. Thank you. My public comment is over.
That's it. You got one, that's it. Anybody else?
I'll look
at that. Oh, boy, Barbara.
You have speakers in the field.
I just have a brief word of praise for our highway department. I came home on Sunday evening in the dark after there had been some flurries, and we ended up coming through some bad roads getting home. And when we crossed onto the Heath line, they had done a really nice job despite this late, not really expected band that went through. And Avery Brook Road was in really good shape, so thank you very much. I was dreading that last climb in the weather that
came
in.
No, they've been doing a good job.
Really good.
Thank you.
Challenging storms coming through, temperature changes, precipitation changes, and I think they've done a really excellent job keeping up with all of it.
Yep. What else? Anybody?
Brian?
I can say congratulations on
you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That's so nice.
I don't know if am I on the agenda?
We'll bump up right now. We're done with public comment.
Okay.
So we can do the Green Communities Grant Project, right? So in your mail part one.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Mail part one, we have a proposal from Jarrog. And go ahead, Brian. Speak up.
All right. Well, we've been working on this for quite a while, and to get the grant down to the end. And there's enough money apparently left in there to cover doing a heat pump project for the administrative area. And the benefit of that is it fits in with the approved, there's a second phase to the energy, I've been away from that one too long, but you have to do a plan for DEOR or DO, Department of Energy.
It is DOER.
DOER, yeah. And we submitted that plan and got it approved. And part of that plan was to do half of this building with heat pumps.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a small part of it, but there's enough left in the grant, and we didn't really have any other projects that would be appropriate to the grant. So... this would allow, it would save money in the summertime on air conditioning because you wouldn't have to use the window units, which are energy hogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also allow the use of that space without heating the whole building up, to get it comfortable. So you could maintain a lower temperature throughout the building when it's not in use by anybody other than the front office. So... anyway, it was a project that was of a scope that would spend down the grant. So.
So one unit goes in the town coordinator office.
Right.
One in the main space where yes. the extra desk is and the copier.
Yeah.
One in the town clerk.
Right.
And one in the nurse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, do those spaces have their own thermostat for the system now?
No.
No, okay.
Well, yes, but they don't work.
Oh, well, yeah.
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 They do, but they don't.
So what feeds the heat there now? Just the
Tim,
whole...
When we say the office is way too cold, Tim does something. I don't know what he does. And then when we say the office is a sauna, we have
yeah.
to open windows.
Yeah.
And Tim does something again. And then right now there's like
yeah.
no heat in my office. So I have a little, tiny
space here.
Space
yeah.
here.
Right. So
this would solve that
right,
problem.
So the yeah. increase that we're going to see in the electric costs
yeah.
will hopefully, just for these units I'm
yeah.
saying, will hopefully see some savings in some of the other silliness
yeah.
that's going on.
If you're not monkeying around with the
right.
boiler, you're going to see.
It'll be more efficient for the
yeah.
rest of the building. But then in the next grant... We can look for
yes for
classroom,
library
VRF or VFR system. Those.
Yeah. For the
yeah.
building.
For the whole, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So those offices are fairly small. How is that going to work? Because the nurse's office doesn't have an exterior wall. Neither does the main office. So do we have the compressor is outside?
Yeah.
And then it's just piped into all
yeah.
those other rooms?
Yes.
I'm assuming through the ceiling?
Yes.
So we're not looking at...
Right.
And then the
yeah.
units that are in the rooms must be fairly small because
yes.
the
yeah,
rooms
they
are fairly
small.
Small
yeah.
Right? They got to be this cute little thing.
They're like residential size units.
Okay. I love it.
But each of those will have their own thermostat.
Yes.
Yeah,
each room.
Right.
So there's no nurse, shut it down.
No.
There's like a remote control,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
Because we have them at home.
Right.
Just,
I'm just making sure everybody who's listening understands this.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they're quick, man. They just
right.
really
yeah.
heat up really fast. And,
yeah.
and we're able to reach out to JAMROG because they are on the state contractor list.
Right.
They approved,
yes.
pre-approved state contractor
them, yeah.
list,
yeah.
which they sent
yeah.
to us in their proposal. Just making sure everybody knows that.
And they also do most of the mechanical maintenance here.
So they're familiar with the building.
What's that?
I said, so they're familiar with the building.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're doing something else for us right now, too.
Nice. I've got it on. Oh,
this is the...
To sign? Okay, we'll sign it.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
If...
If we approve this, when would they be able to start work?
I have no idea. It depends on their scheduling. They were pretty responsive, so and they are here, so I would assume they'd get to it pretty quickly.
And I think it's just a day job. It's not anything extensive. So this was back in... Okay.
This quote was from a year ago.
September. Okay. It was updated.
I see December 20th, 2024.
It's mine
is
updated 9/5/25.
What's the total?
Yeah.
It's the total is
I don't see that.
Well, before the rebate is 27,655.
Yeah, that's a little bit more than that, and not much, but just
yeah.
so we
yeah.
can give you the right vote, we need to have that.
There's
$7,175
rebate.
So yeah, I did see that.
Oh, perfect.
But I want to read it so I give you the right. We give the right. Okay.
So,
what do you have for questions there, Lisa?
No, I just wanted to make sure that the quote was still good. It sounds like the overall cost is now 27 something?
27,655.
Okay. And so we've got, this is all with the Green Communities grant money that we have.
Yeah.
So it's no money out of our pockets, really.
And the electrical's included.
Electrical's included. There's whatever plumbing. So looks like they can handle everything.
And they'll do the rebate too.
And when we get the rebate, now how does that work?
Is this the MassSave rebate?
It's
yep. That rebate is not going to come back to our coffers.
Yeah,
it will.
Yeah.
So we're actually making money on the deal?
No. It's not that big a rebate. Look at the amount of the rebate versus what you're paying.
Yeah.
Not included.
the rebate is $7,175, but we're paying $27,000.
I know, but that's out of a grant, though.
Oh. Well, yes, it'll come back, but it'd have to be in that grant program. I'll have to go back to that, I think.
That's what I was asking. It's like, are we making money on the deal? Like, that doesn't sound right. No. Or does it go back to the green?
It has to go back to the green community. I think we're going to have to spend it.
I think
we pay the $27,000 out.
Yes.
Through the grant money.
Through the grant money to pay for the job, and that come somewhere to zero money left in the original Green Communities grants. But then when the rebate comes back of $7,000
to the town of Heath,
I assume that has to go back into that pot, but maybe
not.
Maybe
sure
it could just go
true.
Into the general
it could
fund.
It might go to the general fund.
Barbara,
if Jamrod handles this the way most of the companies do, you will never be paying the full 27. The rebate will go directly to the installer, and they'll only charge you.
Not Jamrod.
Oh, that's
money.
Right.
No.
Oh, most of them. That's what
you're
they
right,
do,
Barbara,
and you sign it over it.
It's going to come back.
Yeah.
Huh.
You're going to pay, and then it's going to come back.
Huh.
We need to find out.
I know this because I know that they work on projects all the time that I haven't
defined
where the money's coming from. So.
I don't have the spreadsheet of the balance of what's left.
Oh, wait, here. It even says here, we will apply for your rebate on your behalf after the installation has been completed and your balance has been paid in full. Oh. So, yeah, it goes right back to me.
To me, that means you pay the 27.
You pay the 27.
Yeah.
Once your balance is paid in full, they'll apply. You just read that.
I read it completely different. Okay, we'll
read that to me.
Has been completed and your balance has been. Oh, and your balance has been completed.
Robin,
that's
what you just read.
Robin!
I'm telling you.
Okay,
you're
going to
pay
okay.
for it.
Right.
You're going to apply for it, and then it's going to come back to you as the whoever, Town of Heath.
Yeah.
I guess it'll come back to the Town of Heath. It'll go. So,
you need to talk
how much is in that account?
I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
So that's
Helmut,
what we have.
Helmut supposedly has
Green Communities Grant.
Oh, was that on my paperwork here? Somewhere?
I don't know. This is the latest.
Latest and greatest.
Latest and greatest. I see. DOER Green Communities Grant.
Is that special? That's special.
As of January 7th, $9,907.68.
Yeah. So this is another
you
one
that's
going
to
be
to
the
Hilma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can't be right.
So, in theory, we're good with it. We got to figure out the money piece of it.
Yeah.
And then we can.
I think you should talk to Hilma. Because she had these conversations with DOER.
Correct. Where was that? Where do you see that? In which one? Is it in the
general ledger detail of payables?
What page?
I just closed my packet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll find it. I always have to search it.
Never close your packet.
Yeah, I always have to find it.
It wasn't. It was like I would guesstimate like 8 pages in, but I don't know. That's
but,
like
you're rough, but she's single-sided printed. You're double-sided.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll find it. I'll follow up on it.
It was like 2 accounts down.
I'll follow
down
up.
The page.
Put that on my list. Robin to follow
oh,
up.
Oh, here. Page 8 of 15. Wow.
Go me.
Okay. Yeah, right? Account 29. Oh, starting in 29. 29192. Third line down.
Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah.
All right, so I understand it, and I will follow up on the money piece of it to see how much we have and how we move forward.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Robin's following up.
Okay. Thanks, Brian.
One more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the MassSave heat pump rebates, I'm not sure if it only applies to like the whole building or whole household, but
you have to be replacing something.
Well, that's for the whole. That's not what I'm getting at. I am thinking that in order to be eligible for the rebates, you need to have had a mass save visit, an evaluation within 1 year. Within 1 year.
I don't know that. I think it's.
Anyway, it's one more thing to look at to make sure you're eligible for the rebates.
And I don't know if that's the case for a commercial building.
And I don't know either, but it's just
I know a larger commercial building that's having replacements of systems little by little throughout the Y in Greenfield, and Jamrock's doing it. And I don't think they've had, I don't even think they've had Mass Save there, but they're getting rebates. So there's got to be another piece to the commercial part, check on that.
Yeah, I just would hate to have it like...
I'll ask Jason on that, yeah.
Well, the worst that could happen to you is you weren't eligible for the rebate. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, or you get you would just have Mass Save come back again, too.
Yeah. Well, they did. It wasn't Mass Save that did it. It was the state. They sent...
I think it's different for commercial. So yeah. I'll find out. Because it's the Mass Save commercial heat pump program.
Okay, so it may be different, but...
I don't know all the rules and regulations, but I'll find out.
Yeah,
and I know this, but I know that commercial buildings are getting substantial rebates on these.
Yeah.
So...
But they're really sticky about the order of operations, and if you don't cross this...
Okay.
T before you go to dotting that I, they're like, oh, well...
Got it. On my list. Thanks, Brian.
Are we moving it to it or no?
Wait. Okay. Because we'll get it all straightened out.
With Dave. Okay.
I'll touch base with Jamrock, too.
Thank you.
Okay. And let them know where we're at, see what they can give us for intel on it.
Yay.
So, Green Communities is rubbing. All right. Okay, now let's go back to Sawyer Hall rental proposal, which is Lisa.
Okay, wait.
And that is in Mail Part 1.
Page 1, I think.
Page 1. The Mail Part 1. Okay. So we don't really need to read it because you're here and you could just give. So
I'm
read
here,
it.
But you've read,
I read it,
so it's just between you and I.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah.
I don't really want to make this decision without Will.
Well, so we can
wait
and just talk about it with him since... You had a great conversation.
We can just talk a little bit.
Yeah.
That had a great conversation. I think there's a lot of potential about what could be brought to the town if she was to set up a shop. I think that it's, well, I don't know, maybe we should wait for Will. Because I'm going to say all this again when Will's here.
Okay.
But it's looking promising. I would like to have a conversation with Will.
Yeah. Okay. So let's put that on for the next meeting.
Based on what the summary of my conversation that I had with Valerie that I shared with the select board, do you have any further follow-up questions that you would like for me to pose to Valerie?
No, I don't think I have questions. I think I would like to just, get as much money as we can, which is what I said before.
Okay.
We've addressed in here.
Yes.
We'll talk about that with Will.
Okay. Barbara has a question.
Yeah, Barbara, sorry.
Just a comment.
Yeah.
Thank you. You directed Valerie to me regarding Cultural Council grants for some of this stuff that she's interested in doing. I did respond. I gave her lots of information.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Let her know about local Cultural Council grants, which may not be what she's looking for, unless it's part of a very specific program, And I laid it out for her what would make, because she was like, can I get a grant for rent, basically.
Right.
And it's like we don't, our local grants are not just for rent for artists.
Mm-hmm.
They're for programs to benefit our residents.
Mm-hmm.
And so if she were to say, I'm going to hold 3 classes and, this is going to be the cost for the teachers and this is for the supplies and this is for the program, whatever, you could then use that money to pay your rent, but... It's not just rent. But there are specific larger grants from the Mass Cultural Council for artists that are...
Do pay for rent.
That, yes, they can use to support themselves in any way. And they're much larger amounts of money. So
mm-hmm.
I gave her that information.
Great,
so.
Thank you.
haven't heard back from her after I sent that, but I know she's away until March or April.
Oh, away from Heath? Yes.
Yeah, she's.
Yeah, she's.
She's
not,
down south. Yeah.
Yeah. Her house is not winterized.
So, finance. Just those of you that are here. What were we talking about? We'll have further conversation, and we'll talk about it again with you guys when we have our meetings with you. Is an individual looking to rent the upstairs of Sawyer Hall, and to do so for at least 2 years to start, with the first year getting a little bit of a reduction until she gets herself up and going in the rents, and then to increase it the second year, and if everything goes well, to continue to rent that space. So we'd be seeing some income as early as she wants it, as early as March, and then to keep going from there. So we're just trying to get as much as we can.
So the DOT person who is in one room is not continuing?
Or? Oh, no, he is.
This is just the big space where we used to have our meetings, where everybody was.
Yeah, DOT is in the old assessor's office.
Yep. So they're staying, and obviously you guys have downstairs, the historical folks have downstairs. So, you know, between getting, using that space, we'd start to see some more money. Bob?
Is this one person that wants to rent that?
It's one person, yes, who wants to be responsible for that, what she does afterwards. She wants to be able to do artisan work.
She wants to do very large figure pieces. So I asked her that question about, gosh, you're one little artist and this is a very large space. Is this too much space for you? She said, oh, no, this is fantastic, and I'm going to put this there, and I'm going to do this, and I can do my big pieces. I've always wanted to do them. So she's thrilled to have access to such a large space.
And then she wants to have classes, too, for people.
Post classes. She's got two other studios that she would like to then move into one location. So it would be a very grand. She's very passionate, she's very enthusiastic, creative, but life is being kind of thrown up in the air for her right now. She's just trying to keep her life as secure as possible while so many things are changing, which is the caveat to this whole thing. But she loves the space and she would really love to have it if we can make it work.
All right, so we will revisit that at the next meeting and try to vote.
Yeah, so we can give her an answer. She's just a little on pins and needles about it.
Okay.
Right, so that was that.
That's that one. Northeast IT annual contract?
Yeah, so...
Where is...
I'm not entirely sure what Helma was asking me to talk to you about regarding that.
Oh, we don't have one yet.
Well... We have some preliminary stuff, and there's going to be some decisions that we have to make. So, basically, they told us that some of our hardware that we have will need to be replaced within a certain amount of time. So, I think it's our, actual physical, server of thing, majiggy, that's in the electrical room.
Yeah.
They said that that is somehow our protection on it, or the software has to be re-upped. I don't know. It's just the whole big thing. We're waiting on more information from them. We have to talk to Alice about whether or not her Assess Pro is a cloud software, because apparently that's the only thing that's stored in this server. And if it's a cloud software, then we can move everything we have to the cloud, and it would be more efficient somehow. I don't know. It's a little confusing. They have to get back to us with some more information. We have to get back to them with that info from Alice. I'm not sure what I was really, to be totally honest, I don't know what I was supposed to share with you on that agenda item.
That's fine.
But that's what I can think of.
Until we have the actual proposals, that's fine.
Right, and it's more of a budget hearing kind of discussion anyways, because that would be it's the money at the end of the day. It's the question. So
very
I believe
good.
That's all I have.
Okay.
More to go.
Gotcha.
The CEC change order, that's in mail one again.
Yes, and I have the actual signed document.
All right. That's the
the landfill.
That's standard, right? Nothing's changing about that.
Well, no, this isn't. This is a change order to what we already signed. So actually, it is.
So I was like really confused. I'm like, what are we changing? And then they're showing us a contract from 2017 that was signed. I'm like, what is happening?
Well, no, we did one on so December 30th of 2025. We signed the contract with the civil and environmental consultants, and then this is revised as of January 5th.
No. Well, yes. Basically, they wrote it wrong, and they thought, oh, you already signed it once?
Yeah.
I
on December 30th. See, so if you look at it...
Well, no, you didn't sign it.
No.
No, but I mean, we reviewed it to sign, I think.
I don't think so. Kept making mistakes, so they wrote Commonwealth of Pennsylvania somewhere, then they wrote Town of Health, and I was like, that's Town of Heath, and then...
Well, maybe Tindy I just
and Holly was like, no, that's not Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And
oh,
they just kept
yeah.
having to edit it.
Maybe that was
it.
Maybe
it.
She sent
this
to review.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is
and
the,
I remember signing
the final
signed,
version.
Which is the update
right.
from 8 years ago?
Whatever it was.
So something
7 years ago?
I think the initial was 2017.
I saw 2017
okay.
on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was very confused.
So that's why they removed the terms from the initial, the December 30th dated one. They removed the terms from that, noting that they should never have added the terms because the terms were already agreed upon in the original contract.
Right, right.
So then they removed the terms, attached the 2017 contract, and then sent us this new one that for some reason was still dated December 30th, revised January 5th, even though they removed half of it. So I don't know. But at the end of the day, this is what we have. And it's still confusing, and I actually had to talk to them, and Helma and I realized this when she stopped in briefly this afternoon, that there's a spot on the contract where it's specifically asking the town of Charlemont to sign this little thing that makes zero sense, especially when you read the blurb. And I'm not a lawyer, so it's legal jargon, but I...
And then I was a little confused under project cost when it's supposed to go up an annual increase of 2.5 annual increase, but then this is less than the year before. I'm like, what?
That one is more because 2027 has an additional service.
Service, right.
I believe, what's the service? An inspection.
It's an inspection.
Oh, yes. Okay. So there's just these
oh,
two
it
are just...
If
yeah.
I just read it thoroughly, I could, yeah.
I didn't see it either, so you're good. Those two are just the water testing.
Okay.
And then the...
Thank you.
The monitoring
so do we have,
wells and the spigot.
So are we to wait until we find out what this Charlemont piece is?
Did you read it, Quinn? Do you understand why it would be in there? Helma and I were... I feel like if there's anybody who should have a special signature spot, it should be Heath. It's in Heath.
Well, it's an agreement amongst all three of us, so all three of us need to sign it.
Yeah, but there's this... Where was
the
it?
Weird
now I gotta find it again.
It's right under where the two project managers signed it. Adam Hillary and Bill Wiggerman. It just randomly says CEC reserves the right to revise, adjust, or withdraw this authorization request if not accepted by Town of Charlemont.
So I think they just. Oh, but it's been accepted.
Right.
It's been accepted by.
But then it has a signature line, and then the next page it says.
Signed
town
again.
Of Charlemont.
The town accountant has to sign it, though.
Well, our town accountant does, too.
Everybody
all
does.
Town,
so
everybody
does.
Does. Oh,
town
yep,
accountant.
Yep, yep. I'm looking at it now. Okay.
So that's on the back page is the certification.
Right.
The signing by the select board. For,
so we're confused by
so
Charlemont.
So, yeah, why
special.
Is Charlemont signing there?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why you guys couldn't sign it anyways, but then... If they were going to revise it again, you probably have to sign it again, so it makes sense to just wait.
I would like to.
Yeah.
Wait, okay.
Until we know. That's Robin.
I don't know. Wait a minute, let me just see. Yeah, because they didn't do that before. We're just...
Right. It doesn't make any sense. Is that the one with the three, Robin? I don't know if that one.
I'm just looking to see how it happened last time. Yeah, because this time, if Charlemont did it there, we're here.
Charlemont, who?
And there's Holly.
Holly.
There's no pre-signing. There's their names. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Oh. This is a new one.
Yeah, but that's where it's asking for it here.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
And then it's asking for it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would ask why.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to table this.
Proposal dated and for the additional fee identified above. Right, so request 30 days of his proposal. Not accepted by town travel moment. Yeah, we just need to make sure we sign it. I don't know. It's kind of weird how they have that whole little paragraph there.
It is.
Directed towards just Charlemont.
Mm-hmm. And there's no indication of, like, why?
Yeah, why is that statement there? And was it last time? Anything about proceeding with a purchase order? No, that wasn't even there last time.
So I don't know what Charlemont would be doing special.
They wouldn't. There's nothing that they can do special.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just, let's ask for clarification.
Okay.
But make sure this is on for the next time because we don't want to get
too
past
far.
That 30 days.
Definitely.
Which would be the first part of February. So at our next meeting, we should be signing this one way or another, I think.
Yes.
It would be nice to see if Charlemont and Holly just are signing it.
They probably did just sign it.
And if they did, then that's fine.
Well, because when Tinky saw Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, that was because their select board had already reviewed it and asked for that edit. And then she affirmed when they sent this one over that they had no more edits and they would be going forward with signing it. So unless they noticed it last second like we did, they probably all signed it.
And I mean, yeah, we're fine with signing it. We just want that clarification.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right, that's that. Very good, thank you. mileage reimbursement rate, that's in mail part one also. So 2.5 cent increase per the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
And so we follow what the IRS recommends. So I'd be looking for a motion to increase the mileage reimbursement rate for 2026 to a rate of 72.5 cents per mile, which is up 2.5%. Cents.
Okay, so moved.
I got a second. Discussion?
Mm-mm.
Nope. All in favor?
Elisa, aye.
Robin, aye. Okay. DLTA request form. That was a separate email, I believe.
Yes, that was not.
And did you look at that yet, Elisa?
If it was in the mail, I did.
It was not in the mail. It was a separate email.
Ruh-roh.
Because of its...
let's see.
So it's not something you're going to do right now on the fly.
Okay. Oh, wait.
You will find this. It's one of these forms. It's the whole
right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah,
I just don't see how long ago was it sent.
Well, I'm not really sure.
Well,
beginning of last week.
Yeah, not that long.
Okay. Right. So that's something that we need to fill out or put down our suggestions of what we think or what like the top three.
Tuesday.
And then we'll put all of them together into a wonderful, super happy
six
application.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I landed right on it. Right here. Boom.
Right.
Yeah, so...
So let's fill them out.
I'd also like to note that they did not open the regular community compact grant this year.
Huh.
So they only opened the IT one. The other two, they're not doing funding rounds. So
if you had anything earmarked in your head for community compact, maybe, possibly, depending on the scope, consider it for DLTA.
Could you explain the community compact? What did
you say? Just like another like generalized grant opportunity. Some people would use it for technical assistance. Like it's something that could have been used to like update our capital asset management plan or
have we used this
zoning bylaws. Right.
It
just wasn't FERCOG based. This is not like that was a real grant. This is like an application to FERCOG to allocate grant funds that they've applied for.
And that they'll run for us.
Right.
You know, they tackle.
We apply and they're like, here's your person. And they give somebody to you. And they're like, this person's going to do this.
Have we utilized this before?
Okay. And so you're telling me that this is not happening this year?
No, the FERCOG thing is. I'm saying if you had
the community compact grant.
If you had anything earmarked,
which was my zoning, which was exactly what I would have liked to see in zoning.
But they're not doing it.
Right, but they didn't open it. They only opened IT.
But they can do it through
here. Exactly.
So that's going to be one of
them.
Exactly. I can even tell you what mine are. Shared services, roads, and zoning.
Okay.
Shared services for what?
I'll go through and highlight.
Okay.
Huh?
Sure about shared services.
There is a section in here specific to ambulance, fire.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yep.
And PD.
Still not so sure about it.
Well, if you're going to want someday to have an ambulance that deals, you're going to have to get on board at some point.
Yeah, but we
services. But at some point, they're going to want to. They're going to have challenges too. So you got to have to continue the conversations.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. But usually, I mean, every time I think about doing shared services, I think, oh, good, because it'll be less expensive for us because we're sharing the expense. And it's not. It's going to double our expenses, most likely. So I'm like,
who are we sharing with?
Well, we don't share with anybody. Well, yes, we do. Sort of. We pay for Colerain ambulance.
Which is $22,000 whatever.
But you, at some point, you've got to say, well, you can't just take care of yourself because you don't have the people to do it.
Right, no, and I totally get that because it's, yeah.
So there has to be a way. It increases it if the positions become something that is like a full-time position. That's where it starts to really start to increase it because then you have other costs attached to it.
Oh, if you have like one person?
Like if you, right now, say the chiefs are covered under the individual town budgets,
mm-hmm.
right? But they're not full-time positions.
Right.
So they don't have insurances. They don't have all the benefits.
So if you had one person that covered a bunch of different towns.
Then they hit 40 hours, mm-hmm. and then you have to
and
do benefits. And then the question is does the cost of the benefits that you have to pay that person, is that number then so much higher? But it depends on how it's set up. I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get the help looking at it and figuring it out, what the cost is.
I feel like the ambulance is a completely different question.
Yeah. So there's, when you look at this, you'll see there's one section.
Okay.
Very good.
Neato.
I mean, you can't say you're going to have your own ambulance in Heath and have an ambulance department.
No.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's unrealistic.
Nightmare.
And we are going to get to a time where there's going to be a retirement of chiefs.
Yep.
And are there individual chiefs to fill all the towns on part-time positions? Are there? Maybe there are.
I don't know. We haven't asked for it yet. Okay, good things to think about.
So we'll be on the next agenda.
All right, so that, everyone needs to have that turned in to me, and then she'll make a little chart.
Yay!
Hall storm windows replacement.
So yeah, basically just another one broke last week, and Tim sent us a lovely picture of it.
Okay.
And you know what a broken window is, so I didn't...
When you say us, I can see a picture.
I mean, me and Hilma.
Oh, okay, very good. I just want to make sure I was using the email.
I didn't forward it to you because I was like, they've probably seen a broken window before.
But be clear, a broken storm window.
Yes.
This is how rumors get started.
You're right. You're very right.
Of course, it does say storm window. It does here.
Yeah, I'm just removing words that I'm talking about.
Yeah,
don't do it.
You can't do that.
The storm windows is really an issue. I haven't yet found anyone too interested, so I'm just going to keep trying.
Well, at some point,
what were the dates on that? I ask that every meeting, but I've never gotten a response. Can you find out, Mia?
The dates on
the grant?
The grant?
The community hall windows.
And that's your cultural council one, right?
Well, it's Massachusetts Cultural Council Cultural Facilities Grant.
Cultural
it has nothing
facility.
To do with me, other Sorry. Than that I pushed for it.
I'm
so
putting in all caps cultural facilities.
Yep.
So there's obviously a date it needs to be completed by, and I would be curious to know what that is.
Yeah, Hilma was indicating that there was some fluidity, flexibility
right.
with that, but it was very vague what
yep.
what that was.
So I really need clarity on that.
I'll add that to my Ask Hilma list.
Thank you. Security camera system for here.
Yeah, our quote without the prevailing wage included.
Oh,
why
yeah.
they
so
wouldn't include
we
that.
We can't act on this because we're getting an updated quote. But we do have a quote in here on part five. Wait, part
so, part, yeah, today.
Of which I lost
it. We only got it today. And before Tim even gave it to me, Tim had found that piece in the terms and conditions, whatever,
yeah.
about where it said, this does not include prevailing wage. And he was like, why on earth would you give a quote to a municipality without prevailing wage? And he said, give me a new one. And they have it.
Okay. But let's talk about, I've lost it.
So I was really confused about the quote because for me, it's not in any sort of context about what are we talking about, cameras where?
Oh, that is new, and I can explain, if you'd like me to.
Sure. I would love to have you explain this.
So this was the guy came, and we had a lengthy discussion as to what kinds of cameras go where, what do they pick up. And the quote was for, if you were to envision the hallway or look at the hallway,
mm-hmm.
the front doors in the vestibule area, there'd be a camera in the corner closer to the library inside of the interior doors to the vestibule. So the actual doors getting you into the main common area there. There'd be one inside. It would be pointing towards the cafeteria direction.
Okay.
That way that would capture the inner part of the vestibule area and then all down here. There'd be one in this room, probably, I think it was for either that corner right there with the windows or this corner, one of those corners. Two in the gym. He said that one wouldn't cover the whole gym. One fisheye camera in the common area there that would go down to go 360 degrees to cover the common area place. And then the exterior doors by Hilton Youth Performing Arts, there'd be another one inside of those doors.
So
pointing this way.
Okay.
Yeah. So the areas not covered would be inside of both vestibules.
You said one in here?
Yes. One in here, two in the gym. Two in either hallway,
yeah.
pointing like this.
And, one
and then one fisheye one doing all around.
And it's the same system that we have now.
Yeah. So there was a couple things that were discussed when the guy came. It was Tim, myself, and Hilma.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's some sort of, the Hilma knew about, we haven't looked at yet, monthly fee that we pay to Northeast Security Solutions to keep this camera system up and running. When we asked the guy about it, he goes, I have no idea why you'd be paying a monthly fee. He said, you're just going to have to talk to whoever you usually talk to about your services. And we're like, well, we've just always paid it since we've had this building. So then that brought up the discussion, and Hilma said that this had been discussed previously, where if we're looking at a monthly fee, wouldn't we want to compare it? And apparently this is a compare it to literally just getting something like a Ring camera that has a monthly fee. And apparently that was already discussed, and that was
shot down. We did talk about it, and we opted to go in this direction.
Okay.
For a handful of different reasons, but... I guess the follow-up is finding out why we have the monthly fee.
Right, and that aspect, and we will be looking into that, too. I just didn't know if that had been...
So we'll get the updated proposal with prevailing wage. It's going to bump it up to 10,000 something, somewhere around there, and
figure out what that monthly is. We were thinking that maybe it was to get Tim to, since Tim has access to the cameras on his phone, if that was
mobile access.
That, but then he's like, no, I don't know. So we have to figure out what we're paying for, and if that would increase too, that would be the question.
Yeah.
And what is
the service, just out of curiosity, what's the service we're getting for the $10?
For the $10?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Oh, we don't
or
know.
Or whatever it is. Oh,
yeah, we don't know what the amount is. Hilma knew, or didn't know, I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to look back. But that is the only other pending number.
Okay. All right, so we'll carry that over once
we next agenda.
Get more info. And then I guess, are we feeling... So the reason to have one in here is the door?
I know, I was thinking about that.
I don't know.
Why do we need it
in
here?
I mean, I think they'd mentioned that the reason for one in here was because there's meetings in here, and that was the same reason we wanted them in the gym. So in case there's an incident in a meeting, it's recorded.
Does it do audio?
That would be my question, too, because wasn't this something that was a concern of Hilltown Youth Performing Arts?
Yeah.
Isn't it going to be more of a concern to have one in here and two in the gym?
Well, yeah, I did. That was going to be my next. First, I started here, and then I was going to say, didn't we need them in the gym, too? I mean, I guess there's doors. I mean, it depends on how you're looking at it. If you're looking at it for part of your security, then you're picking up your doors.
Right.
Even though the doors are alarmed.
But sometimes they...
But they're not...
Sometimes they're left open, propped open. Sometimes the alarms are not set. Sometimes, you know, so...
I think it's a... Like, in my original mind, we didn't have them in here and in the gym.
I didn't think we did either.
In my original mind, I was thinking of covering from that entrance, basically down to this door that's out here, outside the bathrooms. Right, I call this way, and they like the T, boom, and then down the corridor.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of like in my mind.
I can talk to Tim tomorrow, too, and have see if they can give us another quote. So we have a quote with the gym and the cafeteria, and then a quote without the gym and the cafeteria, and then obviously make sure they both have prevailing wage. But then, I mean, this still poses the question in my mind, and I could be off base with it, but, I mean, if the concern with... Just again, because it's so significantly cheaper. If the concern with a Ring or a Blink camera is ability to access it, Tim has the same ability to access the Northeast Security Solutions cameras from his phone.
But Blink isn't live stream, it's motion detected. It's not something that's recording all the time. And that's what you want when you want to watch.
It takes a snippet.
The same thing with the ring. It's all
it's
going to
take a snippet of a picture every time there's motion.
Right. And sometimes it misses it.
And it's not.
Oh,
option,
yes, it does.
Right?
It's
I don't get it every time.
To have it. I thought you could.
I think one is different than the other, isn't it? What's the difference between ring and blink?
That's such a great question. Sure.
I have one at my house.
Well, I have Ring at my house, but I thought that you could up your subscription so it would record all the time.
It's not live stream, I don't think.
Well, you can live to it.
Oh,
you can. I mean, you can live, but I don't think it records 24/7.
So I have Blink, and that doesn't. It's
right.
Getting a snippet.
Right. That's what I'm most familiar with, all my Blink cameras.
Yeah.
And my Ring doorbell, I rarely even access. It's just.
It takes an event, like somebody pulling in.
Right, so again, motion activated.
Yeah, and then it's going to take a picture. I don't even know why it did that. The thing must have wiggled.
What, is that a ring?
Yeah,
that you have?
Vehicles.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
when the truck is moving, and it gives a time.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, again, when there's movement, and I don't always get snippets of every movement that happens.
Mind you, I didn't put this in. Oh, there's the UPS man.
Ooh, what did we get?
Oh, there he is. I don't know, but I can't wait to get home.
Yeah, mine seems to record like every half hour.
Right, so that's not good enough. But that's why we wanted to, we have a system in place that is 24/7, and we wanted to say, well, gosh, what would we like just to build
right.
upon it?
Right.
But we have to ask, Robin raises a really good question, what are our goals? What are we trying to do? I mean, I want every door covered. I mean, if we're going to cover the doors, then we're going to cover every door. That was one of my main reasons of doing this, was that we're having doors propped open. Okay, you know, we need to know.
So then you do need one in here.
So,
right. Maybe that was the, and maybe that's why they're in the gym too then, so they have exterior doors.
Right.
There's only one extra door. I don't know why we need two cameras there.
Well, in that case, it was to cover the whole gym. But if you don't need to cover the whole gym, you're just looking to cover the door.
I just want doors covered.
So I can have get another quote.
Uh-oh, Pat wants to talk again. I don't know, Robin.
Whisper to Bob and Bob can speak.
Can I speak?
I just want to say that I think it's very important to have the doors covered, and during when the alarm doesn't go off until the building gets alarmed, and anybody could allow someone else to come in before the building gets alarmed and be inside the building, and you know, after it's closed. So if you really want the building to be secure, I think you have to monitor.
Well, we're still not covering all the doors.
But then the question is,
because there's all the doors from the individual little vestibule things that don't get covered.
We already have outside cameras that cover all the doors, though. So if you go in the door, you're already recorded. So then why
I don't really know what our existing system is, picks up. I don't look. I haven't looked.
I should know
because...
Well, slacker?
No. For another reason.
I'm kidding.
But, maybe we need to know... From Tim.
I would like to talk with Tim about this.
What he actually sees.
See if Tim can come to the next meeting.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless you just want to meet with him, Elisa.
Oh, I'm happy just to meet with him and not drag him into a meeting.
Stay in a trip.
Yeah, why don't I do that?
If I hate to take him out for no reason.
Right. I don't have to drag him out at night.
You and Mia can...
Sure.
Let's the three of us have a little powwow.
Beautiful.
Okay. That down, and as soon as the meeting ends, I'm going to forget that. So you just remind me. Okay.
I mean, I think in my original thought was, if the T out there is covered, if somebody gets into a room and they're going to go do something, you're going to pick them up once they get out there.
Right. Like in the hallway. I think that would be more of the goal. That less of covering the interior, more of covering interior doors. Of knowing, well, we know somebody's in here because we saw them come in from an exterior
right.
door to the inside. So where are they going once they're in here?
Right. That was the problem.
That was the problem.
When we got robbed.
Right.
Because we saw them come in, but there was nothing in that central area to pick them up once they got in here.
Right.
I think it's good to have a central fisheye in that atrium, though. Because if we do have someone come in, then we can see where they went.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
So
I
agree
with
you.
That was my intention. As long as we see on a permanent basis, somebody either comes from this direction, or they come from the front, or they come from that end down there, whether they come in the vestibule that goes into Jonathan's area, or whether they come in the end, doesn't really matter. You're going to pick them up once they get in the hall.
Right. And depending on where that fisheye is located, you probably could see down the hall to see kind of who was the last out and did that door get locked or not.
So you're saying just the fit?
Not just the...
Well, because if you did just the fisheye, it wouldn't cover town clerk, town coordinator, town nurse, that area. Because that's, he said it would kind of stop.
Oh, that's why
there.
You put the directional...
So that's why we had the one
that,
facing
that makes
this
sense
way.
To me.
And then it
sense.
Also wouldn't cover Jonathan's area.
Yeah.
So that's why we had the other one facing
yeah.
this way.
No, I think that's a healthy mix of them.
So if I'm following fisheye in the atrium, and then one camera pointed...
When you come
from
in,
from those doors this
just
way.
This way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from the side doors by Jonathan's area, this
way.
Down.
Way. Down the hall.
So they both point towards each other with one central
fisheye.
To the fisheye.
Yeah.
So
but then are
cameras.
We including in here? Because then we have one in here and we can see if somebody gets into there. So electrical room.
Yeah, I think
storage.
I would. Maybe I could buy in here more than I can a gym.
Yeah.
Or
well,
what about a little fisheye right in the hallway? And that way you can get people coming in, you know, if someone came in through the cafeteria.
You mean
or
this
right out here? Right out here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
So you can find if anybody's coming in and out or who has been the last in or out. That will cover it.
So then that wouldn't change the quote. It would just be moving the camera from here to out there. Okay.
So we're talking two fish and two cameras.
No gym. Okay, so that's what we'll get the new quote.
No, I said I don't think we need the gym.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, because if you get in here,
as long as
you
can tell who's been
room.
In and out of it.
And here's the thing. If we want to add to it, we can add again.
Right.
Right.
If it's still feeling like we have empty spaces, you can always add.
Mm-hmm.
Subtracting is tough. You already bought the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. Then.
Okay.
And then that would, we would really have to use special projects at that point. I would take the special project money right away.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be right around 10,000.
Someone sing.
Nice music. All right, good. So we'll have that one. Basically, the next meeting is going to be a repeat. All right, meeting.
So yeah, we'll talk with Tim. Yes. All right.
Mail.
Okay.
Office assistant position. We'll do that first.
Oh, yes. So I have a proposal. So I have a handout. This handout was created by Helma. I quickly just glanced over it just now, and I'm a little confused by it, and I really wish I had glanced over it before I got this far today. But the gist of the proposal is that I had done some thinking about it, and the same point when I got hired was the historical knowledge is a huge piece of this position.
Mm-hmm.
So simply asking Hilma, what account did this used to get paid out of? Or what's going on with this person? Why is this person involved in this? And I don't know. So I had suggested to Hilma, and to see if she'd be interested before I suggested it to you guys, that until July 1st, if she'd be willing to fill the office assistant position.
Right.
Now, Hilma did some math, if I can find this handout that I've somehow lost. Hilma did some math, and this is what I'm confused about. I don't entirely understand this, but maybe you guys will. About paying her a little more by using additional funds in the town coordinator transition. Now, I'm not sure if she's done this math with running it to zero. I wouldn't want to run it to zero because if we were to hire another office assistant in the future and there would be overlap with training, we'd want money in the account. I don't know. That's my thought. But that's my proposal. I feel that it would be really beneficial to me to have not only an office assistant to help with the filing and everything, but also somebody with loads of historical knowledge and just knowledge in general. To ask these little questions to ask my Ask Hilma list too after
then,
February 1st, at least until July 1st, and then we could explore hiring an office assistant again if, when, how, whatever.
You feel like you need it?
I feel like, but it's been 2 days without Hilma, so. I mean, Hilma feels that it's very necessary. I mean, she's been doing this for about 6 years or whatever it is. So I can see why it would be, though I haven't been in the position long enough to really have a fair say.
No, it's fair. So, first of all, this I assume is supposed to say town coordinator.
I thought so.
All right, I was like, what?
That was my first question as well. Since she's being a consultant Hilma and office assistant Hilma by utilizing whatever is left in town coordinator transition. But I'm a little confused by this paper.
What's your rate, Mia?
35.10. So I would imagine that's the time left thing.
Yeah. You're gonna take,
okay,
which leaves the 5,000.
212.
Yeah, in that.
So then she's saying office assistant plus remaining town coordinator. But she said, oh, town coordinator transition, I see.
And she's just telling us what all the balances are. So after, so right now, so as of February 1st,
mm-hmm,
what will be remaining in the town coordinator salary line will be 35,258.
Okay.
Your salary will take 30,000 of that. So
what's
at
left?
at the end of June, mm-hmm, there would technically be 5,200 remaining in that line that will either get, you know, will roll,
mm-hmm,
something will happen to it. Then she's saying the office assistant line has 5,683 left in it, which I can confirm. So that would just sit there unless we fill the position. And the town coordinator transition, which is what we voted in at ATM.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what the full amount was. I'd have to look that up, but some of it's been spent, obviously. And that's what's remaining.
And we'll continue
until
she... It'll be spent until February 1st.
Right.
So we'll have 5, 6, and another 5 down here. So then the proposal is...
Excuse me, the insurance payment amount. I don't understand that.
Because she'd still be getting a part of the insurance.
Because
she technically wouldn't retire at that point. She's still...
Even
on
though
payroll.
She's not full time?
I don't know how that works.
I don't
to be
either.
Honest, I have to ask that one.
Yeah. Well, I can talk to her about it, but we decided that I would propose it at this meeting, so.
Or she's saying that her insurance benefit was worth that much per hour.
Yeah,
so
I don't
she
know.
Wants it.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to her. I think she said she was coming in for an hour or two tomorrow. So I'll ask her about it then. I apologize. I had not looked at this yet.
That's okay.
Oh, that's what she's saying. That is exactly what she's saying.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it didn't take me long to figure this out. And no, we haven't spoken about it. Pretty sure she's saying 5. Yeah, that's her. That's the hourly rate she wants, which is her current hourly wage per hour plus what her insurance is worth.
So we're paying her extra to compensate her to pay for her insurance. I see.
So she's saying to stay on for 10 hours a week,
mm-hmm,
for 21 weeks.
Until July 1st.
And a couple days.
Is
215 hours total at the 4436, so it's going to cost the town $9,537. That's the proposal.
And what would the office, what were we paying the office assistant?
Like $19.75.
It almost blows a roll.
And it was 10 hours a week?
Mm-hmm. So that would be my question, too, is what constitutes a little... Well, and if we're going to... If we would be considering hiring again after July 1st, then you'd want a little buffer in that account for somebody to come in and train. I mean, if you were going to hire... Because... I'm thinking about this. I mean, if we go any amount of time without an office assistant, then it's a question of, I mean, from a voter's perspective, if you don't have an office assistant for a extended period of time, why do you need one? You know?
Well, the office assistant has been a fluid position since it was put in place.
Okay.
Meaning that it was put in place not too long ago. It's not like it's been a long-standing position for the town. But it was done because it's needed. I'm not saying it's not. Mm-hmm. But it was never fully known how much time would be needed by the office assistant and what their job would really be.
Okay.
So one of the conversations the select board had back when it was clear, when Hilma had, you know, really told us she'd be leaving, was would the new office, new town coordinator who fills a portion of a fiscal year, mm-hmm. would that person want an assistant? Now, mm-hmm. some people might come in and say, I don't want an assistant until I figure mm-hmm. out what I need. So yeah. for us to then say to somebody, okay, you're getting hired for 6 months, and now we're going to give you this assistant, and this is what they're going to do. Somebody might say, no, I don't want that. I don't want it. It doesn't make sense to me. I want to learn my job first. Whatever. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I don't know if I'd know what to ask somebody to do right now.
And so I think what the hope would be as you're here for a period of time is we will be saying to you what is really needed in that office for an assistant. Is 10 hours a week enough? Is it 15 hours a week? Is it, you know, what is it? What really needs to be there? And part of that conversation also included when we were talking about Hilma leaving, the select board talked with her and said, you know, are there things that you're doing, Hilma, that take your time, that are time consuming, that are really requirements that other people are supposed to be doing, other department heads are supposed to be doing? Are you doing that just because it's been done like that forever, but right. it's not something that Mia really will be doing?
Mm-hmm.
So those are all those conversations that we had.
Okay.
You know, like, maybe Hilma was doing something that took 5 hours a week that was really the responsibility of person X.
Right.
And now you're going to say, hey, that's not my job, that's your job, person X. You need to do it because you're getting paid for it. And now all of a sudden you get 5 hours. I don't know. We don't know.
Right.
It's a big transition between what Hilma did, I think, that was part of her job versus what she did just because of her position of being here so long and knowing mm-hmm. so much. And other new people come in. Maybe they don't know their full job. She helps them out, and then the help becomes she does it.
Right.
We got to figure that out.
Right. And that part of it then is kind of to be determined as I evaluate what needs to be done.
Some people will turn around and say, I don't want anybody in my business and helping me. I can do the job perfectly fine. I don't need an assistant. Whereas somebody else may look and say, hey, if I had an assistant, then I could do this much more grant applications.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, whatever. Just pull something out of my butt. Barbara.
The other issue was to have someone who could not be Hilma, but manage the office at times when either she was doing
away or sick or something.
She's
doing her training on Friday starting.
Yeah.
March.
You know,
yeah.
and so
oh, no,
someone
I,
to.
That's another thing that's not happening anymore.
Oh, no.
Class was full.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
But so there's
someone,
you know,
to manage the office,
and
deal with
the
public, take minutes of a meeting when Hilma was not able to.
Right. Well, and there's been that whole big ongoing file project in there.
Yeah.
This
correct.
Has
so it's
a decent amount left.
So in my mind, the office assistant position is still a little fluid because we don't really know how it's going to shake out once you get your feet under you.
Right. Right.
I think at one point in time we've talked about Hilma being a. I mean, this is just, a different way of looking at it. Hilma being a call-in
consultant.
Right.
Versus this is, and I didn't think she wanted to stay as
I'm really surprised.
Part of an employee.
Well, I had offered it to her, and she had said that she had actually been thinking about it, but didn't want to, not overstep, but...
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, not overstep, but make me feel like she didn't, I don't know. She didn't want to, she had thought of it, though, and she told me Well, I offered it because I think it would make the transition at least easier for me. But then she said, I think it would also make it easier for me to transition.
Yeah, no, I'm not questioning the purpose behind it. I think I'm questioning the title to it.
Oh, yes. Right.
Right? Is it a employee?
Or is it a consultant?
Or is it a consultant? That's what I thought. We had this conversation before,
right.
And I thought that she did not. So we're missing one piece of this. It's Hilma. We need to have the continuation of the conversation with Hilma.
Well, if she's coming in as a consultant, we don't have a budget line for that.
Well, yes, we talked about taking it out of the town coordinator transition.
So then
that was the conversation. That's why we created the. That was part of the.
Right. And what was the hourly wage on that?
We didn't have one yet. We just picked a number. Based on, we had some at the time, I'd have to pull it out. We had, I think Hilma worked on it actually. We had numbers that we were using that we created that, I think it was higher at one point,
right.
We dropped it down.
So I love the idea of having Hilma continue in some fashion.
And that's what thought the intention was, you know, whether it's
that
just,
she could be available at, you know,
right.
as the consultant.
Right.
Right.
But looking at maybe her coming into the office assistant role is and not a consultant is what we're asking is
right.
But
then she's still functioning as a consultant,
right?
Just
yeah.
But
so
maybe it would
be
predictable hours.
Right.
Maybe she likes the idea of having regular predictable hours during
which
she
could do that as a consultant.
Right. We would just have to do the math of where. What, I mean, because there wouldn't be as many hours.
So we need
Hilma
in on this.
Well, I mean, one way to look at it is the purpose of the town coordinator transition was to for
this
very reason.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's.
So if we set it up that it's however many hours, unless there's some reason, this if you could find this out,
mm-hmm.
is there a reason from Hilma, and if she wants to call me and explain it to me or whatever, or talk to Elisa when she's here, whatever. Is there a preference to be an employee, continue as an employee? Is there a reason to continue as an employee versus being a
independent contractor?
Thank you.
I don't think so, because I know that she's definitively told retirement February 1st.
Right. That's what I figured.
So I'll ask her, but I don't think there is.
And if there is none,
mm-hmm.
what makes sense to me is to... I think, and maybe I'll rethink about this and come up with another reason why I don't like it, but for right now, what makes sense is if she stays as an independent contractor as of February 1st,
mm-hmm.
and we tap into the town coordinator transition account
uh-huh.
and zero that out, and as we get close to zeroing it out, we figure out, what's our next step?
Right, and then she'd still be a call-in basis, or then she'd have regular hours, but they'd be less than 10.
Or, well, if you are needed, if it's needed, 10.
Sure,
I mean, maybe
that would be more of a...
Maybe one week it's 15, but the next week it's 5.
Right.
As far as hours.
Yeah.
Right.
And
we
just
know
that
hourly rate,
we need
though.
To have an hourly rate to see how many hours remain in here.
Okay.
And then if she prefers, or if you prefer, and in your conversation, you know, oh, it makes sense for you to be here every Monday from 8 to noon. I don't know. I just pulled that out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's set it up that way, and then have the others be floaters. Or if you're going to take a day off, ask her if she's, you know your day's off, so you ask her in advance.
Right.
See if she can come in for part of the day, a couple hours here or there. Or if there's a project, because you may find that there's some weeks where you don't want to be being told what to do. You want to just get it. You want to be working in there and figure stuff out.
Right. And
might not work for your schedule.
Right.
You know, you may need time to just
own the space,
own
the job.
Yeah.
But then I mean, I assumed we were going to spend all this money and probably some more.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing to say after that we can't figure out how to continue it on.
We turn into the office as a
traffic or something else, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes total sense.
And then it's a rate. Now, I don't know how that all, if there's an issue for Hilma, we just need to know what that issue is.
Right. So I can make an appointment with her for the next meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, bring her in.
Well, you guys can discuss it.
Or yeah, or do you want it to go that way?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's fine with you asking her those questions. Let
us
know.
Just, yeah, okay. Let us, yeah.
And then we can, if she wants to talk with one of us, tell her to reach out to one of us.
So that we're more prepared come next meeting. We have the information and
right.
we can kind of hit the ground running.
Right. And we can pretty much just tell Will,
then.
Bring him up to speed, tell
right.
him what we
right.
did. This is what we're doing. This is where we're at. And this is how we think it's best to proceed.
Okay.
But we need more information.
I think it's very fair because the people voted to spend this money on this transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And this is part of the transition.
But this is what we talked about.
This
is, right.
This is what we planned
for.
Right.
So I think that's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the additional thing to the consultant was she has a few, and I think she planned on, I don't entirely know what her plan is, but I think her thing was she was trying to get, she has a few projects that she really wants to get done that she's had on her to-do list ever since she's become the town coordinator that she has not had time to do, like figuring out where all of these mysterious keys that we have go. We have no idea where they go, and there's like hundreds of them all over the place, and there's a couple other things. You're going over the personnel policy. I mean, they're not needs.
But
I think those were another thing she had wanted to get done. So I don't, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. But
yeah,
if she did have, if she ended up with some sort of set out, they're all things to consider and think of.
Okay, I don't need to be sold on this proposal.
Right.
I love the idea. We've got to figure out the numbers.
Details and numbers.
Get more
yes.
information from Hilma. Share it with us. Not for discussion, but just information sharing
mm-hmm.
so that we come next meeting, we're ready to.
So at 45 an hour, which is basically what she's put down here.
But that's pulling from.
I'm just giving
right.
some data. So I'm just throwing
okay.
them out there.
Yeah.
So if you did that and you said, here, what was I doing?
It's 10 hours
a week. No, so I went, we got 21 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Divided by. It's like seven
hours a week.
Yeah.
Divided by 35,000.
Seven times. It was 21 weeks, right?
Yeah.
147 times 45. 15. Yeah. So a little bit, right around 7 hours a week instead of.
From the 6,600.
Of the
six,
yes, of that transition. But here's the thing: what it does is. Say we get to February, March, April. You say, you know, you just said you're thinking about if you have to bring in a, if you're thinking of wanting an assistant and you need training time to get them up to speed or whatever, we still have that other line item there.
Right. That makes horrible sense. And I feel like 7 hours a week would be sufficient for the questions that I need to ask Hilma.
And that's at 45. I mean, I don't know. I'm just...
Right. Would she feel that that be is sufficient in completing these projects? I don't know. But again, that's all stuff I got to discuss with her. And I also don't really know what her projects are.
But again, can we be flexible that maybe it isn't 7 hours that particular week?
Oh,
right.
Yeah, well, maybe
it's
10
hours,
gets
10,
and 10
and,
right.
Right,
right.
When
yeah,
we
yeah,
it's
yeah.
free, when we, yeah, yeah.
But this just helps us structure it.
Right.
Or maybe it's 10 hours for as long as it lasts, and then it's recalculate, figure out where you're at.
Right.
So
I think that makes complete sense to me. I don't
know. I mean, it doesn't have to, I assume, go to the very last... Or if she's going away for a week, she ain't going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I know she's going to have some life now, I assume. But let's get a little more intel from her.
Definitely.
And then
right.
let
two
us
questions.
Know.
Okay. Share what you learned.
Cool.
Yeah. That's what I do.
All right. All righty. Good, good. Mail.
Mail.
Mail. Where's my list?
And basically, a lot of it we've already discussed. So in part one,
okay,
the Sawyer Hall rental proposal has been discussed. We're going to talk about it again next meeting. We did the IRS, the mileage reimbursement, the Tri-Town landfill. We're going to get some more info on that and repeat it. Same thing, Jamrod. We're going to review that in 2 weeks, get a little more intel. Oh, yes, the Memorandum of Understanding for the ADA Self-Evaluation and Transition Plan.
Yes, I have that in my big folder of things for you guys to sign afterwards. If you would like to wait to afterwards, you can do that then, or if you want to do it. I mean, this is all the stuff I need you guys to sign, just for reference. It's including the warrants, but there's a lot going on.
Sure, we'll sign it there.
Okay.
Usually sign after the adjournment.
Yeah, the only thing about this is... Mm-hmm. Did Willow want to talk about this at all?
Not true.
Didn't we already talk about this last meeting?
We said we'd be getting this.
Right, and we got it. And so I'm not quite sure. Let me pull it up so I've got it in front of me.
The attachments will be the biggest thing for you to review, Elisa.
Okay, I'm in one.
It's the not legal jargon explanation of what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, do you know that this is the right scope?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I know, that's why I want to pull it up.
We want to make sure we're...
Oh my God, too many emails.
So... Basically, the beginning is a self-evaluation, so they're going to help the town employees do this little evaluation of the accessibility of Town of Heath departments and programs, assessors, fire department, highway department, police department, library, select board space, town coordinator, town... collector, town clerk, town treasurer. So they're going to talk with all those people in Town of Heath buildings, community hall, fairgrounds. So there you go.
Oh, hello.
Why is that there? Town of Heath buildings and facilities. Let's try it again. Community hall, fire department, highway garage, Jacobs Road, municipal center, Sawyer Hall, and the transfer station. Community hall. So that's going to be a change.
Transfer station?
No, fairgrounds. Fairgrounds is not owned by the town.
Oh,
yeah.
It's
not.
So that's going to come out. So, fire department, highway department.
Post office in there?
Yeah,
or is
no,
that
not.
Considered?
And town nurse.
So. What are you doing with these people? Yeah, I think we need to read through this.
Okay.
I would like to spend some time with it.
That's why I.
Perfect.
I'm catching up. I had to find it again first, and you're like reading through it.
No,
like,
no,
Robin,
no.
Give me a minute.
Well, I read it a little bit today, and I said, this is something I need some time to digest just to make sure everything's covered we want covered.
Right.
It's probably just a little wordage and stuff. Okay. So let's put that on our list.
Table.
To, for any file discussion and to vote. Plus, we should have it listed as a vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which it's not because it's in the mail. Okay. Thank
yes.
you. All right, part two. We have a door issue.
Yes.
Is that?
Yeah, where are we on that?
Well, then I can get the doors locked one day. No matter how hard I try. You go to lock them, they latch. But then you pull with any amount of force and they just come unlatched.
Yeah.
So then I was like,
Tim, I gotta leave. Like, I don't know. Is there a trick? Somehow, he said, like, well, I'll look at it in the morning. So I'm like, okay, I alarmed the building. So either way, he's gonna get notified if somebody tries to come in. So I alarmed the building. I left. I went home. Somehow, overnight, they settled and locked themselves all the way. Doors did.
Oh, funny.
Nobody else showed up. So, yeah. Then Tim pulled them all apart and adjusted some things that I don't know what Tim did, but something. And now they seem to lock right again. But he has a call in to this locksmith who's apparently his cousin. And there's something about the fact that he's retired, so his business isn't. I don't know. Something. Basically, he hasn't gotten back to us, and sometimes he can be hard to get a hold of for Tim, and something's happening, and Helma was pushing him on it, and that's all I know.
Yeah. I'll follow from
there. Yeah, there's a lot happening there.
I will do that. Okay, then we had in part two a letter from somebody in this room about Parks and Rec.
Was it me?
So we're going to chat about that a little bit more at some point.
Mm-hmm.
About all the requests there. Pat.
Pat.
Moi.
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 Boo.
What would you guys do if I didn't write you letters all the time?
Shish. Go home early. So I got to reread that a little bit myself. Let's continue that conversation as part of our. We'll just continue on that about how we're gonna get notification out clear and make sure people know what they need to for grant applications. And we've got to continue that conversation.
And I did kind of start putting together a protocol for, but it's specifically for matching grants. That's the one that gets us into trouble.
Well, once you have that, if we can add to it too.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The Code Red. What is up with? We've had Code Red.
So it was just this little side comment. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
We just know. I mean, Hilma brought it up a couple of meetings ago that it's going to be expiring, I think, in October, and she asked me as the Board of Health liaison. Does the Board of Health have any thoughts about Code Red? And this is the response. And
okay. All right. So that will continue when we get the Code Red update.
That's my understanding.
Contract update.
That is my understanding.
Okay.
We just cannot seem to locate the current contract.
Wait, no, I thought we found it. I thought there was a follow-up email going,
Well, we didn't find it. We found an email that makes it look like it was just somehow auto-renewed, but there still should be a contract that we never found.
Okay. We need to find that.
Yeah.
And then also, it was just talking about when Board of Health can come and meet with Select Board and FinCom.
About
town nurse and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So that's
down
what
the way.
About. So hopefully February.
Yeah. And then a note from Claire, just clarifying her.
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. And DOER, clean energy siting and permitting updates.
My favorite.
That's just for your information.
Well, yeah, just knowing that that's coming up, that it's going to be another thing we're required to add to our zoning bylaws, probably.
Okay. What's this next one?
This is the retirement system.
That's just, you gotta read this.
That one says some
I read
interesting.
That.
So the Franklin Regional Retirement System and pre-employment physicals. That's this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's just a notice for now.
I think so for us.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know why it's dated so long ago. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah. I think we'll use it as an FYI move on.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
For now.
This looked like just an FYI that they're just
pretty much
staying on top of stuff and doing what they can.
Yeah. The next one you mean? Yeah. The Hampshire County Group Insurance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's meetings here. Mm-hmm. Are you going to listen to those?
Yes, I just went to the last one. The next one's what, the 21st or something?
21st, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to, and then the.
Yeah, they
February
like,
25th?
They just keep repeating the costs are high. We're
yeah.
working on it.
Well, I mean, what more can they say?
Exactly.
We can keep
trying
listening.
Not to go bankrupt. I don't know if they can go bankrupt, but anyways, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Uh huh. And then,
just FYI.
Yep, more FYI, Franklin County Solid Waste Management District.
Yeah, double FYI.
She does
double
a lot
FYI,
of great
FYI.
Educational stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Jan is
and
meeting
and
on
has
Thursday. She's
cut?
Wonderful. Meeting with Jan Thursday about all her programs.
Now, has she, did she meet with at the transfer station?
I believe that she did, but I think that was a while ago.
For his intro?
Yeah.
His training?
Yeah, I think Amy came up.
She said
okay.
that she's done it for every new...
Well, I knew he was supposed to, but I just didn't know if it ever happened. Can
okay.
you just confirm that?
Yeah.
When you see her? No, no, no rush on it, but just let's make sure he said that.
And I am
now that it's coming back to me, I think you said yes he did, but
yeah. And I am meeting with FERCOG invited me to their offices to meet with all of the different people that work with Heath. So that'll be
nice.
Super duper helpful.
Randy.
Because there's so many people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Randy.
Randy. Okay.
Sure. Really awesome.
Randy.
We love Randy. We love them all over there, quite honestly.
Yeah. They're awesome.
All right.
Okay. Just more FYI.
Part three is
wait. Okay.
Well, part three is Mike Couchier. We've had all those conversations. But then the file sharing service conversation.
Yeah. My thought is, I mean, I don't... If everybody's editing a document and adding comments on the document, editing the document, that's a violation of open meeting law.
Correct.
If you have multiple different people from multiple
Correct.
Different departments. So I just don't see the need for that.
Well, yeah, because...
And that's what I asked for clarification on, and I was not given clarification. So then my response was, well, these are my thoughts. We pay for Microsoft, which includes, even with just an email licensure, which includes OneDrive. So you can have a OneDrive where multiple different people can add files to and access the files. The caveat would be you would just have to make sure that everybody didn't have editing permissions and was not editing these documents, or else you have an open meeting law violation. So I don't think that there's any reason to involve Google, because then you're outside of Northeast IT, you're outside of our licensure, you're outside of any sort of security, any backup for files, any anything. You're not under our umbrella of coverage anymore. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can see how wanting to have multiple people access a document rather than having to send out new copies of things and then running the risk of somebody utilizing the wrong version of a file, a previous version that's outdated. I just don't see the need for editing them. I just think it opens up a can of worms, but who knows?
So, is there a request here?
She called ahead of this and was like, well, do we already have a system like this? And I mean, there's Microsoft SharePoint, there's Microsoft OneDrive, there's a couple other different Microsoft systems that are all covered by our license. I mean, OneDrive makes the most sense since even people who have email-only licenses can access, have what it's like a gigabyte in OneDrive or something.
I would think that there is, what do I want to say? Legal clarification as to how these systems can be used by a municipality.
There's got to be.
And so when you're talking with Mark,
mm-hmm.
About some of the other things I would ask him. They probably already have one of those little handouts they send out
to
us every once
do.
In a while that they'll say, oh yes, we talked about that 5 years ago. Here it is.
They probably do. I will add that to my list of things for Mark.
Okay. And that's a good starting point.
Beautiful.
Okay. That's the end of part three. Part four.
Good Lord. There's a lot of parts.
Parks and Rec stuff. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
We do have Hilma's official resignation in Part 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We have to accept that. Where the heck is it?
Hiding.
Hiding.
There we go.
Okay, here we go. Elisa?
Yeah, I know. I'm pulling it up. Hang on. I can't see. Thank you. Okay, so is it... It is... There. So sorry. Trying to find it.
Well, I can give you this. Can I have a motion to accept the resignation of Hilma Sumner from the position of town coordinator effective as of February 1st, 2026? With regrets. With our little regrets that we've always had.
So many regrets. So
I know.
Is that you're making that motion or
no,
am I
second?
Have
a motion.
Oh, so moved.
And I will second it. So discussion.
Wishing her well, as always.
Yeah. Well, it sounds
maybe
like
she's
going to
stay
around.
Close. She's going to stay close.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All in favor.
Lisa, aye.
Robin, aye. Okay. That's done. What is this next one now? Public health emergency response framework. Oh, this is an FYI for us. With round tabletop exercise. And then we've got FYI, we've got a report from December 2025 from the fire chief. We've got my official response from National Grid when I kept asking for a schedule. That's the schedule we were given. I already commented on that one.
Hey, Bob was supposed to come meet with me, not like me, but more me, last week, and he just, I don't know, he fell off the face of the earth.
He knows you?
Pretty much. I followed up with him when I was out of the office, and he just never, never showed up.
That's
never
unlike him.
I know. And then friended me on LinkedIn.
Oh, did he know?
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. Okay.
So it's not much of a schedule.
No.
No, it's not.
No. And I think you guys already discussed that, but I wasn't
sure. Oh, yeah, we did.
We did.
I'd like
thought
to just
so.
Say it again. It's just in pure misery.
Okay, smart
and
meters.
Then the smart meter information. We've talked about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And then recycling cost.
I just noticed on that one.
What?
Subject.
Town of Holly.
Oh, good gravy.
Yikes.
Yay.
Smart meter, all that information. Mm-hmm. And then, recycling.
Mm-hmm.
So for your information. And five is... The camera proposal, we're going to get updated.
Mm-hmm.
Conversation about the kiosk, we've talked about that. And Natalie's resignation.
Wowza.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm. Natalie was good.
I heard.
It's going to be a big loss.
Sure is. I have... three questions, Mia. Can you let me know where we stand with, and I'm sure you'll have to figure this out, HIPAA payments?
Sure.
HYPA payments, are they up to date with their payments?
No.
Hilltown Youth?
Yes and no. They paid their rent late. They just paid it yesterday. Over the weekend, they slid it under the door, and John found it. According to Hilma, they still have not paid their security deposit.
Okay.
And that was going to be something that we were looking into because Hilma couldn't remember if it was $500 or $1,000. But they haven't paid it.
Okay.
And they were late, so we have to calculate interest on their other payment. But they're not up to date with the security deposit.
Okay. So when she figures out what those numbers are and sends an email, please copy me.
Okay.
And salt shed reimbursement. We'll be getting a check. I don't know.
We did get one.
We did get it back from...
Turn it over Thursday.
Okay. We got a little bit of a check back from those designers, Walt. Walt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't you saw that?
No, I didn't.
I think there was an email that came through.
It's like $1,889 or something like that.
So there's a little bit of money coming
back. Money
coming
back, okay.
Yeah, just letting you know on that. And roof repairs. Here.
When
so money was
moved into that account.
Moved into that account. Mm-hmm. Saw that today, and then that's. I'm not sure if Hilma sent. I mean, that was been approved and signed, and it went off to Titan Roofing.
Mm-hmm.
Titan Roofing is the contractor doing that. We just want to make sure that I don't know if they're going to wait till spring, or I'm just curious where
all
that
right.
stands.
Okay, I will.
And I don't know if Tim was dealing with that or.
Yeah, I will ask that. Tim. I will put that on my Tim list.
That was my last question for today. What else anybody got? Next meeting. So basically, next meeting, we've got the Sawyer Hall rental proposal,
mm-hmm.
Green Communities Grant.
We have the same meeting.
IT, right. The Tri-Town Agreement, DLTA, the windows, we'll keep those on there.
Security. And office assistant.
Office assistant.
Do you want me to keep Parks
the
and
MOU.
Rec on there?
The MOU. Huh?
And the MOU. Do you want me to keep Parks and Rec on there?
Yeah, so we can follow up with
yeah.
whatever
yeah.
between now and then.
Yeah,
right.
Parks and Rec.
Okay.
The ADA MOU.
We were also thinking about bringing in...
We had a lot
broadband
of money,
yeah.
Well, broadband confirmed for, oh, what day did we? I don't know why I didn't bring my planner down here with me.
Oh.
But whatever day that we decided we were going to do last time with MLP on those old calendars, they did confirm for that day that we had.
That's the next meeting.
That's the next meeting.
That's next meeting. Okay, so then they confirmed for next meeting.
Okay.
Fire and highway confirmed for the 17th, as long as there is no snow. Police, however, was not available, so we moved police to the first one in March.
Wait.
So I think it's March 3rd.
Okay, police.
Is police.
Okay.
And then February 17th is highway fire for budget hearings.
Fire, highway.
Wait a minute.
I believe Dina confirmed some of the finance committee dates. As of right before this meeting, but I was not able to look through my emails. I just saw a email.
Okay, I also want to try to bring in Board of Health on February 17th.
They did confirm as well.
Thank you.
Yes, Sheila will be at the 17th meeting at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, great, thank you.
So,
yeah.
What, our next meeting is the 27th.
Yes, with MLP.
And is FinCom coming to that?
That's what I don't know. I think that was the email that Dina sent that I got right before this meeting today.
And then we're meeting on the next meeting is...
February 3rd, I think.
That's not what I have.
First week of February?
I have the 10th.
I have the 3rd because that was supposed to be the Hilltown Youth Performing Arts update, I thought.
Well, we went back and forth, back and forth.
We did go back and forth, back and forth. Let me slip in. I've heard all on my phone, too.
I mean, they could be on the 10th. There's no magic number about the 3rd.
No,
well,
maybe it was the 10th.
Okay, because they want to...
The 10th.
We're going to start talking about their next lease, I think.
It was, yeah, the 10th was Hilltown Youth Performing Arts, and the 17th was Highway.
Yeah, because the 10th is...
Fire.
Like the regular select board.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And who else is coming on the 10th?
Just Hilltown Youth Performing Arts.
Okay.
As of right now.
And then the 17th is Fire.
Highway.
Board of Health.
Highway. Board of Health.
Mm-hmm.
And then a regular meeting.
Regular.
And then on the 3rd of March.
Is John.
Is police. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to be here for 2 meetings in a row.
What
I know. I was like, I can't.
What is going on here?
February 24th, March 3rd. My father has arranged for the entire family to be in Key West.
Oh. I just was at Key West.
I said, Daddy, that's two Tuesdays. I can't do that. But that's the way it went down. If the regular one is...
What are you gone?
So, we leave Monday the 23rd and are back on Tuesday, March 3rd. So if it's anything critical on the 24th, you can always be Zoom, or you guys can have my permission to carry on without me. Or, you know, and as stuff comes up, I can always add my comment to pass on to Mia that she can speak to. My apologies. Out of my control. I'll have a little drinky poo for you on the beach.
Just was there.
You were just in Key West?
Yeah, we did the Keys.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we left Hollywood and went to the Keys.
Oh, you didn't know?
Yeah. I stayed two nights there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where'd you stay?
Santa Cabana. But I preferred staying in Isla Mirada. Mm-hmm. I like it in the center of the Keys, mm-hmm. more so than the lower Keys.
Mm-hmm.
Different.
Well,
life. All right, what else? That's it? We got some things to sign. Or not a lot now because we're putting most of the things off. Do we have anything to sign?
Yeah, you have the warrant. Do we want to sign now or do we want to adjourn?
We can, she can bring them to us as we adjourn.
Okay. I make a motion we adjourn at 8:20 p.m.
Second. All in favor?
Elisa, aye.
Robin, aye.
Thank you.